Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert, back live tonight to talk about an issue that, you know, we've been mentioning over the last few shows, and wasn't expecting to do it so soon, but God kind of spoke to me and said, you know what, now's the time to talk about the Ten Commandments. You know, we look at society, we look at, you know, the political system, we look at, you know, the world as a whole, you know what I mean? We look at Facebook, look at the entertainment, you know, industry, and what happens is, you know, we are a lawless nation. You know, everybody's out there kind of doing what they want to do. Everybody's out there just kind of, you know, as Aleister Crowley says, do as thou wilt. As Pepsi says, live for now. A lot of these slogans that are just, you know, leading us to behave in a manner, YOLO, what is it, you only live once, all these little ridiculous sayings. But what we as believers need to understand is that there's actually consequences, there's actually a law, there's actually commandments that were put in place by God, in fact, to guide us as far as how to live and, you know, and how to treat each other. And, you know, and so what I wanted to do tonight is step outside of, well, really not so much, I was going to say step outside of what we normally do, but it's really not stepping outside, you know what I mean? Because everything we do here is centered around the word, is centered around relationships and dating and marriage and love. And what we want to do tonight is talk about those things, but in regards to what the word said back in the Old Testament. We want to get a glimpse into some of the things that God was feeling, you know, some of the things that were on his mind in regards to how we should interact with each other. So that's what we're going to do tonight. You guys are welcome to call in with any comments, questions, feedback. It's a deep topic, you know. I'll say that obviously, you know, anything dealing with the Bible, but certainly anything dealing with, you know, going back to the Old Testament is obviously going to be deep. It's going to be involved. But we want to lighten it up a little bit tonight. You know what I mean? We'll save the, you know, the debating. You know what I mean? I was at I think I told y'all a couple months ago, I was at a Bible study, and a lot of different people, a lot of believers, but, you know, who believe in different things, different interpretations of the Bible, different doctrines. You know, they were getting into the, like, you know what I'm saying? They, like, a lot of people take it seriously. So we're not going to do that tonight, but we want to just really talk about it from a general perspective and, you know, look at, you know, our actions, you know, look at, you know, what things from the word, what things from biblical times are still applicable today. Well, it's all applicable, but you know what I mean? What things are, you know, are problematic as far as our everyday lives and things that we need to maybe change in regards to what the word says. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. A little bit later, I want to get into some of the emotional availability pop quizzes results. A lot of people are still commenting on those over in the friends group. Shout out to you guys. Courtney is here with me tonight. Courtney, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. The Ten Commandments. Not something that I keep saying that, but I mean, is there anything that we really haven't talked about or you can't expect us to talk about after, you know, pretty much 10 years of talking about everything and anything under the sun?
Right. I feel like we have talked about everything. We have literally covered every topic.
One of the things about me is, and you guys will, if you know this about me, if you're, you know, have been around for some time, but if you're a newer listener, you know that there's no topic that intimidates me. There's no topic that I'm afraid to touch. I mean, here with this show, you know, it's not about ratings. It's not about popularity. It's not about, you know, controversy. It's just about, you know, realness and talking about the things that I want to talk about, talking about the things that you want to hear talked about. Talking about the things that, like, because me, and I tell you guys this from time to time, you know, I'm a fan of talk radio, okay, me personally, like, you know, and it's unfortunate that there are not a lot of places that I can go where I feel like I can listen to entertaining talk radio, you know, that are actually talking about something, you know, substantial, you know, and so I try to do this show from the perspective of a listener, you know, a fan, you know, someone who enjoys listening to good topics being discussed. So, you know, and if you guys have your own topics, definitely, you know, feel free to email me, you know, talk about them in their group, and we definitely will talk about them here on the show because, as Courtney said, I mean, there's so many topics that we've already talked about, but there's a lot of things I still want to talk about. So look out for some really good shows. In fact, shout out to you guys who tuned in. We were last live on Friday night. We were live on Keeping It Real Fridays. If you missed it, we talked about why Black America hates Stacey Dash. I mean, obviously, we talked about a lot of things. You know, it was an advice, Ask Dayton Advice Hour edition of Keeping It Real Friday. So we talked about a lot of things, but that was the main topic that in regards to her new position with, you know, Fox News and, you know, and how we as the Black community, unfortunately, on a large scale, only tend to, you know, support what is politically correct, what is socially correct, you know, what's popular. And, you know, we're all here to, you know, just express our own opinions. And if somebody's opinion differs, then that shouldn't be a problem. So definitely. In fact, Courtney, I mean, you were live, obviously, with us. Any thoughts on that before we get into the Ten Commandments tonight?
Oh, I was going to say, you know, I really enjoyed the show. And I received some feedback on it. Like, you know, people were saying that they were glad that we, you know, talked about it and we touched on actually a lot of things, but really, you know, the Stacey Dash situation. A lot of people were really hyped about the show. So, yeah, it was good.
Yeah, and definitely, you know, I was saying on the, and we'll talk a little bit about this tonight, but I was saying on Friday night that, you know, it's you know, this show is really, you know, an opportunity for a lot of people to stay out of trouble, you know, to stay out of the club, stay out of somebody's bed, stay off somebody's couch, stay out of some type of meaningless dating situation. You know, because, it's, you know, even if it's a rerun, even if we're not live, I mean, it's an opportunity for you to get caught up on some information that you may have not heard before. And, you know, it's entertaining, you know, above, you know, everything else. I mean, it's entertaining, it's informative. It, you know, it actually, funny thing is, it actually qualifies as your time with God, you know what I mean? Like that spiritual time, that, you know, getting into the Word, which we're going to do tonight. You know, you always want to make time in your days, you know, for that, for God. And, you know, what better way to do that than to, you know, relate the Word to your everyday dating life and, you know, things like that. So I'm excited tonight. Again, you guys are welcome to call in with any comments, questions, feedback, anything, or just listen in, man, 646-200-0366. Courtney, let's jump right into it. When you think of, I put a challenge out there for you guys a few months ago, and the challenge, and just real quick, shout out to everyone, and I just commend everyone who has taken up the challenge to go ahead and get into the Word. You know, and like, you know, we talk about that, you know, it's become cliche, get into the Word or read your Bible. I mean, it's like, what does that mean, though? You know, because a lot of people, you know, it's like, all right, whatever, I have a Bible, but that thing has dust on it. You know what I mean? Have you ever had a Bible with dust on it, Courtney?
Dust, dirt, stains, yes.
I mean, I'm gonna be real with you. I went to some place, and I left my Bible outside, and it got rained on, and it was just, like, ruined. And I actually still have it. It was the first Bible that I've ever had, and it was just, like, destroyed. And that just goes to show you how lackadaisical, you know, I was in regards to the Word and, you know, and God's Word and just, you know, having a Bible. And, you know, obviously if you leave it outside and gets destroyed, its chances of you, you know, reading it are, you know, slim to none. But, you know, I'm glad that I have that newfound desire. I shouldn't say newfound, but I just have that desire, and I encourage you all to share that desire to just read the Bible as if, you know, it's, you know, a fiction novel, like something you may read, you know, for recreational purposes. And I encourage you all to look at it. Because here's the thing. If you don't look at it like that, then something's wrong. You know, and I know a lot of you know what I'm talking about. You know, it's like, okay, I look at it, or I read it, but because I want to get closer to God, or I want to know something, or I want to study. It doesn't have to be like that. It's actually like if you really sit down and get, you know, a New Living Translation, which we're going to be reading from, you know, tonight and talking about, you know, you're going to look at it from a different perspective. You know, you're just going to sit back and read it, you know, as if it's it is a story, but you know what I mean? You just read it nonstop, back to back to back, and you will be blessed, you'll be entertained, and it will, you know what I'm saying, it will show you so many different things about what you see from, you know, from society, from politics, from entertainment, from everything, friendships, dating, relationships. You'll see everything. And so I would encourage everybody just to, you know, who cares what you did before? It doesn't matter. Just start, even if you have, like I said before, even if you have to go buy a brand new Bible, just go ahead and do it. Go buy a highlighter and just really sit back and just read it, you know. And throughout the next several months, we will do a number of these types of shows straight from the Word, straight just talking about it. And let me just say this, too, because I know there are a lot of haters out there. Let me just say this. I am no biblical scholar. Courtney is no biblical scholar. That's not. We're not here to preach to you. We're not here to even teach you necessarily. I'm just a real guy, you know what I mean, who likes talking about real issues. I love God, you know what I mean? And if there's somebody out there, and I'm sure there are, who are or maybe even claim to be more biblically not versed and well-versed and you know, hey, by all means, feel free to call in if you hear something you disagree with, if you hear something that could be said a different way or maybe something that's downright whatever. Call in. Let me know, and we can talk about it because that's what we're here for. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're all here for, is to discuss. You know, I just want to talk about this stuff. And once we, as believers, as Christians, as individuals, start having more conversations about what's going on in the world, what's going on in the Word, then we will all see things differently. Doesn't have to be a debate, doesn't have to be an argument, doesn't have to be, oh, he's better than you, or, you know, she's. It's not about that. It's just about, look, we all love God. Let's talk about God. Is that okay, Courtney? You cool with that?
Yes, I am. I'm excited.
You ever meet people with biblical sticks up their butts?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
it's
I have.
Like, I'm like, hold on, what? Who put this stick up your butt? You know, it doesn't have to be like that. It's like, oh, I do this, Y, and, you know, X, Y, and Z, and I'm, you know what I'm saying, too cool to just discuss. You know, feel like they're on another biblical level, another spiritual level. It's not about that. You know what I'm saying? It's not about that. And then they got the nerve to wonder why they're not being blessed, why they're mad at the world, you know? And about the Word, being a Christian in general, doesn't have to be uncomfortable. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to be miserable. In fact, you should be happy. People should be able to see the joy of the Lord in you. You know what I'm saying? You know, so just think about that stuff. Had a great weekend. You know, I know this is like off the topic, but I had a great, you know, weekend. Got a chance to go to, you know, hang out with my daughter and my wife. We went to some good friends and their daughter over at the Please Touch Museum here in Philadelphia. If you guys are in Philly, you have kids, definitely take them out to the museum, because it's a great place for kids and a lot of stuff for them to do. And I say all that to say, you know, when you have something to live for, life is going to be you're going to be a lot happier. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to be happy. Like, you know, if you look at people who are miserable, who are depressed, one, they don't have the Word. One, two, they don't have God in their lives. But aside from that, they don't have anything to look forward to. A lot of times when you look at, you know, certain individuals who are just negative, it's because they've lost hope they've lost hope and they've lost faith, but they've started to believe the lie that whatever they're going through at that point is all they're going to have. And when you start believing that lie, it's all downhill from there. You know, so I would just encourage everybody to never lose hope. You know, really sit back and self-reflect on what you want in life. You know, what kind of life you want, whether that's love, you want to be a wife, you want to be a husband, you know, you want kids, you want a family. You know, keep your eye on the prize, as my mom always used to tell me, and believe in God. Because if you get into that depressed spirit, that depressed state of mind, that, oh, all men are dogs, and I ain't going to have nothing, and, you know, this and that, you know, you're just going to be lonely, you're going to be depressed, and that's when the voices start talking to you, that's when the enemy starts talking to you, that's when the voice starts saying, oh, I should just go ahead and kill myself. I mean, come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know those voices, you know what I mean? I've counseled at least well over 100 women who've told me that they've at some point felt, you know, like it wasn't even worth living anymore because they had believed the lie. So what I'm saying is, you know, as we get into the Word tonight, you know, just reflect on, you know, how it's applicable in your life and what you want, you know, and don't lose sight of that. Is that anything you can relate to, Courtney? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's, I can relate to everything you said, just, you know, the whole believing a lie of the enemy and just thinking that when you're going through, that's just how it's going to always be, you know, and just depression is something serious. Like, it is, but at the same time, it is about, you know, positive thinking and just really having faith. And faith is tricky. I shouldn't say tricky, but it's hard for people because it's believing in something you can't see. I think people want, they want proof. And I'm one of those people, like, you know, I want proof. I want to see it, you know. But the good thing, I mean, what you need to do is just believe it before you see it. I think that's where the results come from.
Absolutely. Absolutely. One of the things, I want to do a little bit of background, just a brief background. If you guys are unfamiliar, and shout out to Oshel. I mentioned last week, my buddy Oshel, who is a part of the Tolbert Relationship Counseling family. He's been, since just in the last couple of weeks, he's spoken to a number of people through counseling, changed, you know, some lives. So, I mean, he's just really a spirit. He's, you know, one of the people who I go to for advice, and, you know, if I'm going through something, you know, we talk. And so I would just encourage everybody to, you know, if you haven't already, reach out, schedule a free consultation with him. You know, info@trctoday.com, call 855-5589, just a spiritual brother, a lot of good information. But, you know, as I mentioned last week, we're going to be doing a brand new show on Sunday nights. Well, I shouldn't say Sunday nights, you know, about probably once, twice a month. He's a busy guy, I'm a busy guy, but you know how we do. Definitely at least one or two Sundays a month called Between Brothers. And the first show we're going to do is going to really be talking about this time period, which surrounds the Ten Commandments, in regards to Moses, in regards to Aaron, and we're going to be talking about turning your back on God, and how the enemy will steer us in the wrong direction, and cause us to, you know, lose sight of the commandments, lose sight of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, and you know, and do some things that, you know, are not pleasing to God, and will ultimately, you know, keep us from achieving the blessings that we seek. So I can't stress enough, make sure you guys tune in on this Sunday night. Will be the first one, but we're going to be talking, like I said, you're going to get a little bit of a preview here about as far as what's going on. I know Courtney's excited about that, but then again, Courtney's excited about just about everything because she has some psycho tendencies. But aside,
I sure,
you know,
do.
What I mean? Yeah, right. But what I'm saying is you guys should be excited genuinely just because it's going to be crazy. You know what I mean? It's going to be off the chain, and I'm excited about it. And I just talked to Oshel today. He's excited about it also. So make sure you tune in to, well, every night, 7 nights a week, 365 days a year. You know what I mean? There's always a show on here, unless we have technical difficulties and we for some reason get shut down. You know what I mean? Get shut out. But, you know, we should be here. Let's talk about, you know, but I guess where I was going with that is in regards to the Ten Commandments. Moses, you guys are unfamiliar, obviously went up the mountain, you know what I mean, was called up the mountain to give, because what happened was, and you guys may not, and hopefully you guys are familiar, you're in the book of Exodus, the enemy, or I shouldn't say the enemy, but we have the enemy, he was in the midst of the people, okay, the people of Israel, you know, they were led out of Egypt by Moses, you know, really, you know, by God, and you know, they were on their way to the promised land, and unfortunately, you know, they fell into some hard times. There was some famine, there was some roadblocks, and you know, they started to lose faith, and a number of things happened. But one of the things that happened was that, you know, once they did not see Moses, once they felt like they had been abandoned, they decided that they were going to, you know, and this, you know, this is a lot of stuff we're going to be talking about on Sunday, but they decided they were going to do some sinful things, basically. You know what I mean? They decided they were going to wild out. You guys ever have anything like that happen to you? You're on the right path, you're praying for something, but then you decide that, hey, this isn't happening, you know, as fast as I would like it to happen, so you decide to go a different route. But, Courtney, where did that route lead you to?
Destruction, sin.
Right, right. But you guys already can relate to that. I know I can relate to that. So, and that's what the people of Israel could relate to back in the Old Testament, which led to Moses coming down and destroying the original – you know, commandments, you know what I'm saying, that were, you know, put together for the people. And so I want to go through, though, what was on those tablets, you know, what was inscribed, what was the law, what was the word, the instructions that God put forth for his people to give them some order, to give them a certain way to carry themselves and conduct themselves. What do you think about the Ten Commandments, Courtney? Is that ever something you've ever read and reflected on and just thought about?
Not until recently, because to be honest, I wasn't reading the Bible like that. I just got, you know, back into it. But now reading it, yes, it's amazing just to see how stuff in the Bible, it applies to what's going on now. And it just shows also just how God feels about it, like how strongly he feels about that and you obeying it. And what happens if you don't?
Right, and that's the key. What happens if you don't? I think that a lot of times people get things twisted, you know, because we are living under grace, you know, at this point. You know, they get things twisted as far as, you know, how God feels about certain sin, how God views certain things. And, you know, the law, you know, was there for a reason. You know, it was straight from God. So you never want to take what God believes and take that for granted because of other things, which, you know what I mean? You always want to reflect on them and say, wow, you know, let me at least try to conduct myself as best as possible. And we want to talk about, you know, some other things that are going on in society where you can see, you know, if people were following certain commandments, certain instructions, we would not see certain things that we see out here. Over in Exodus 20, it says, and God spoke all these words. I am your Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You know, and that's just something just to reflect on in and of itself. You know, when you look at, when you read the word as far as what those people were going through, I mean, they were slaves. You know, they were enslaved by the Egyptians. And in fact, you know, I mean, they were taken out of slavery, you know, and not shortly after they were removed from actual slavery. You know, somebody even said in the, you know, as they were leaving out, why would you, he said, look, put us back into slavery. You got us out here in the wilderness. We were, at least as slaves, you know, we had meals and, you know, we weren't about to die. I mean, why would you, and they were cursing God and cursing Moses, Aaron, and, you know, I mean, very unappreciative. You know, I know a lot of unappreciative people. You know, it's like, you know, they want one thing, but they have many other things. But because they don't have that one thing, it's like, oh, my gosh, they're cursing God. They're turning their back on God. They're turning to sin. They're accepting that booty call text, you know, just because they feel like they haven't gotten that one thing. God doesn't hear them. But it's not that God doesn't hear them, though, Courtney. It's that they're not hearing God.
Mm-hmm.
That's deep, right?
But, I mean, it's so true. It's so true. And that's why the majority of them did not make it into the promised land, because of that unbelief.
Right, right. I am your Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And all he's really asking here is this: you shall have no other gods before me. Now here's the thing. I don't think that's too much to ask. You know what I mean? I really don't. I don't think that's too much for God to ask. I mean, you know, he's like, look, I've blessed you. I got you out of that relationship. I got you that telemarketing job. I just gave you, you know, a job as this supervisor that you've been praying about. You know, I just got you that mortgage. You have food. You have clothes. You have kids. You have your health, you know. And so, you know, I mean, and so, some people, some of us even, myself included at times in my life, have seen all those things and been unappreciative. But all he's saying is, you shall have no God before me. Well, a lot of people say, all right, that's cool. I'm not a Muslim. I'm not Buddhist. I'm not Hindu. I'm not, you know, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I don't believe in those other, you know, idols or anything. But the reality is, you really have to break that down and look at, what is he talking about? Yeah, he means, you know, back in the day, you know, and even still, people worshipped, you know, other gods and believe in, you know, polytheism, you know, multiple gods, you know, Greek mythology, all types of craziness, which you know, pertain to other gods that people will worship. And so people do, some people believe in that stuff, and you say, well, that's not me, I don't believe in that. But do you worship money? You know, do you worship celebrities? You know, Beyonce, Nicki Minaj, Lady Gaga. Do you worship your career, your job? Are you so obsessed with that promotion that you'll do any and everything for it? Real quick, sidebar. I meant to tell y'all this the other night, but this is probably more applicable right now. I was listening to a song, and this really struck me. This was like the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm listening to, first of all, a couple of months ago, I told you I watched Jennifer Hudson and Terrence Howard in Winnie Mandela. And did you see that, Courtney?
No, but I heard it was good. I heard it was really good.
No, it was real. No, it didn't have sex in it, so you didn't. You know what I mean? That's why you said, oh, I catch
really?
That on bootleg. I catch that on DVD. You know what I mean? Get that from the Chinese corner store, dude. You know, 3 for 5, 3 for 10, but or 3 for 5, depending on you're in Chicago. So, you know, things be cheap up there. But look, it was very good. It was actually a lot better than Mandela with Idris Elba. Definitely check out Winnie Mandela. And but at the end of the movie, it was you know, it was a song, and it's called evidently "Bleed for Love." I don't know if you guys have heard it at all. And if you haven't, just, you know, Google it, look it up, YouTube. I'm like, what the heck? So I'm, you know, and it had a really nice melody. And, you know, Jennifer Hudson can sing, and so she was killing it. She was killing the song. But she's, you know, basically the gist of the song. Have you heard the song, Courtney? You know what I'm talking about or no?
No, no.
Yo, when you get some time, check it out. It's called "Bleed for Love." And she's basically saying, you know, would you die for me? You know, what would you do for love? It's like a lot of things pertaining to what you would do for love. How far would you go? Then she's like, yo, I don't even want to say it. She's like, some, would you sell your soul for it? I'm like, what? Would you hold on? I'm about to Google the lyrics. But she's like, would you sell? I got basically singing like, how far would you go? Would you sell your soul for? I'm like, hold on. I'm just thinking, like, wait a minute. What do you even mean by that? You see what I'm saying? Like, what does that even mean? Would you sell your soul for love? I just found that interesting coming from Jennifer Hudson, because we're singing about love, you know. But you know, in regards to, and if you believe in love, then you know that God is love. So how are you going to sell your soul? And she's supposed to be a Christian, though, right?
Right.
And she's singing a song where she's asking, basically, how far would you go for love? But then she asked the question of, would you sell your soul for it? How do you sell your soul for love when God is love, which is what something that all Christians would believe? Now, many of you may know, you do know if you tuned into our rebroadcast last night of Satanism and blasphemy in the entertainment industry. Definitely, you know, listen to what we talked about, what it takes to be a celebrity, what the Bible says about being loved by the world and having millions of fans and having millions of dollars and different things. And so that is something that is, I thought, was very interesting coming from her. Supposedly being a Christian, but asking, would you sell your soul for love? And so I would just encourage you all to listen to that song and just see. And it stands out like a sore thumb. Like that line is like, whoa! Like, did y'all hear that? Like, you know what I mean? What do you mean by that? How do you even? What does that mean? You guys know exactly what it means, hopefully, because that's what happens. But anyway, I say all that to say, going back to the word, you shall have no other gods before me. So what I'm saying is, a lot of people put money, you know, and they worship it. That's their god. A lot of people put celebrities, careers, love, right? That's what people do. That's how it happens. But the word says God is a jealous God, right? You don't want to anger God. You don't want to put anything ahead of God. If you know, in fact, you know, a lot of people will tell you straight up. I say, well, you know, where are you at in the word right now? Like, no, I don't even have time for that. You know, I got to do X, Y, and Z. Da 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 da. It's like, well, hold on. You wouldn't have to do all those things to do X, Y, and Z if you unless God gave them to you. So you at least got to make time for God. You know what I mean? You can't put all those things. In fact, you will not have any of those things unless you put God first. Not long term. You know, I mean, you might have a little boyfriend, you might have a little boo, a little honey bunny, you know, but it won't be the real thing. It might even last a couple years. But unless you do it the right way, it's going to be temporary and it's going to be fake. So that's one of the things that God is talking about. You shall have no other gods before me, whether it's actual people who, things that people view as gods, or, these everyday gods that many of us make, bigger than what they should be. Money is not, what do you say? The love of money is the root of all evil. That's what it is. That's what the word says. You ever put anything ahead of God? You ever looked at something else as God, as being the end all and be all?
Yes, I have. And I just think of, men I've dated in the past, I put them on this pedestal. And at that point, the relationship with God was non-existent, because I wanted to do everything on my own. I felt like I wasn't really listening to God, so, yeah.
Right. You can't do it. And I'm guilty of it, too. I mean, I think there's been a time in all of our lives where we put things, as a priority that should not have been a priority. We can all be honest with that, because it's all good. You know what I mean? We're still here. It's never too late to do the right thing. It's never too late to open up that Bible. It's never too late to close your legs. It's never too late to delete his number. It's never too late for when he calls you to say, hey, you know what? Do not call me anymore. I'm not going to be your hoe anymore. It's never too late. How many people who have chosen sex on a Friday night as opposed to Friday night Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study, but decided to get smashed off during the week, a midweek pickup? I mean, let's just be, that's what we're here for tonight, right? Y'all didn't tune in on a Monday night. I know Love and Hip Hop is on, or whatever is on, whatever y'all watch on, Monday nights. You're not listening to the Ten Commandments because you want to be fake. You want to be real. You know what I mean? You need to listen to tonight. So that's the only reason you would tune into the Dadon Talbert. Who's Dadon Talbert? Ten Commandments. We're keeping it real. That's why you want to tune in. So let's tune in and keep it real. Keep it all the way real. I mean, a lot of freaks out there. A lot of pimps out there. Am I lying?
No.
I was one of them too. You were the hoe, I was the pimp, so that tells y'all right there, we can relate, there were a lot of things that I put ahead of. There was a time I put my career ahead of God, but this show really started excelling, my career really started excelling once I stopped doing it for the people, and once I started doing it for him. That's why you guys are tuning in right now, because it's for God. I mean, this isn't, listen, guys, you don't talk about the Ten Commandments if you want to make money. You don't talk about sin if you want to be popular, right? Trust me on that. But that's, you see what I'm saying? It's not about that. So it's about putting him first and not putting things ahead of him. And real quick, just in this moment, man, say a prayer for everybody who saw this post, these advertisements or, people talking about, oh, yeah, I'm listening to the show or whatever, and just chose you to say, oh, I ain't listening to that. You know what I'm saying? I'm a go ahead and do whatever I was going to do. I mean, who knows? Maybe they had some other things to do. Or maybe they just were dealing with certain things and said, you know what? Their spirit said, I'm not listening to that crap. I'm not listening to that, nigga. I mean, that's what people be saying. You know what I'm saying? I ain't listening to that shit. That fake blog talk. Listen to that crap. Hey, nigga, who you think he is? I mean, that's what I'm saying. You got to pray for people like that, because that's what people actually say. You know what I mean? And then they wonder why they're not being blessed. And it's not about me. I'm not saying listen to me. I'm the end all and be all. But I'm saying, you got to seek God if you want certain blessings. You know, and if you see something that touches you and say, wow, you know, hey, you may want to listen to that. In fact, let me tell you a quick story. Me and Osho, we actually had a big debate, but I had to apologize to him because I actually, you know, I didn't agree with him at first, but then I actually prayed about it and I saw that he was right. We had a situation where we went to the movies. It was right around when we saw Noah. We saw Noah together. And then, you know, shout out to everybody who tuned into our all-time classic special on Noah, man. If y'all didn't hear the Noah show, man, you're missing out. Check it out on the archives if you missed it. But we saw it in the theater, and so Osho, he'd be on some other stuff, but it's good, like in a good way. He was like, yo, what happened? I think I went to the restroom right after the movie was over. He was like, well, look, I'm going to go here. I'm going to go pass out some tracks real quick. I'm going to go try to minister to some people. And so he was going up to people as they were leaving the theater, just asking them, like, yo, you know, what did you think about the film? You know, there were a lot of biblical inaccuracies. Like, he was really going into it. And one woman, you know, I think I even saw this one. He was like, you know, what'd you think about it? And she was like, oh, yeah, I wasn't really feeling it or whatever like that. And he was like, oh, really? Yeah. He was like, yeah, it was crazy. It was a total mockery. And she was like, yeah, I know. She was like, and he was like, well, look, I have a website and, you know, I have some, you know, some information about this if you want to learn more about it. And she was like, oh, no, I don't need that. I'm a minister. And, you know, he was saying to me, like, God told him specifically to tell her that. And God showed her, like, look, this is an opportunity to be blessed. But she turned away from that opportunity, you know. And I was, I didn't necessarily see it that way. But he, you know, I had to really pray about it because he was saying, and you're going to follow me in a minute. There are times when God will speak to you and tell you to do certain things, that he will give you certain information. And given to you by certain people. You may not necessarily agree with the person, but that's information that you know you're supposed to hear in that moment. In that moment, that young woman, she might not have liked the way Osho looked. He might have been a little pushy in her opinion. But the information that he was going to give her and was trying to give her would have been a blessing to her because she was already feeling what he was talking about, but in her own, you know what I mean? It was, and so that's something I had to pray about, and I saw it, and I was like, wow, that does happen because it's happened to me a lot of times. Has that ever happened to you, Courtney? You know, someone tried to tell you something that really was applicable to what you were going through in that moment, but because of the person, because of the situation, you just chose to ignore it?
Yes, that's happened to me. That, and to be honest, that's happened to me when you call me. You know, you call me out.
What?
Stuff.
What? What are you saying? You saying you turned away from something I was trying to tell you?
Yes, you call me out on certain things about myself because I'm not perfect. You know, I have things that I'm working on with myself, and you will call me out. And you know, a lot of times I would just ignore it and just be like, oh, whatever. You know, I don't feel like dealing with this right now, and I would totally ignore it, and not only ignore it, but do the exact opposite. So, I can relate.
Oh, we'll talk after the show then. In that case, I didn't know that we got some stuff to talk. We got a session to do after tonight. Oh, but that's real though. That's honest. So that's all I'm saying, guys. And it's happened to me too. It's happened to me with Osho, you know what I mean? I look, buddy, I ain't really trying to talk right now. Like there be times, and I don't know if he wants me telling this, but, I mean, he doesn't care. I'll tell him on Sunday night, you know what I mean? There are times where we be like, look, man, come on, let's get some Madden in. Come over, you know, get out the PlayStation on the big screen, see what, let me beat you real quick in NBA 2K Live, you know what I mean, NBA Live or something. You know, and Osho be like, you know, we be playing, and he be like, hold on, let me tell you, pause the game, and he ministered. I'm like, oh, Osho, man, what's up, man? Let's get, you know, but you see what I'm saying? And I really even have to, you know, stop sometimes myself, you know, and accept, you know, what is being said. Because in that moment, there may be a word, there may be something that I need to hear in that moment. And you see what I'm saying? None of us, I'm not, you're not, nobody is too big to not be ministered to. you know, or I should say knows it all, knows enough that they don't need some additional information. So back to the word. If you guys just join us, man, this is tonight's show, man. We're just talking about the Ten Commandments, you know, their relevance in today's society. I mean, we all know that the word is applicable and relevant for all time, but you know what I'm saying? We always don't look at it that way, you know, and that's why we, you know, sometimes find ourselves in uncomfortable situations. But yeah, so that's you know, he says, "I'm your Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." And we just have gone over what some of those other gods can be: horoscopes, astrology, you know, sex, lust, celebrities. I mean, it's so many different things: cars, jewelry, promotions, work, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, fiance, wedding. You know, so many different things that can be viewed in that manner, which is one of many of the things that God is referring to. But keeping it moving, it says, you know, here in the word, "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." That's actually one of my favorite scriptures, you know, "but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Now, this is a deep, you know, a lot of people don't want to look at that. They don't really want to dissect that, but so much, because the reality is, you ask most people, "Hey, look, you know, let me ask you, do you love God?" Who's going to say, "No, I don't love God"? Well, yeah, you may love God. I've always loved God. I'm sure Courtney loves God, but do you always keep his commandments?
No.
I don't, you know, and I haven't historically. I mean, I that's why we're all here. You know, I try my best to. I didn't always try my best to, but I'm saying, you know, I'm sure we all at this point try our best to keep his commandments. But so it's, you know, there is a, you know, it's a twofold, you know, promise. Yeah, he'll show love to 1,000 generations of those who love me, but the key is that you have to also keep his commandments. You know, and so that's something to keep in mind. And if you guys, you know, are newer listeners, I would definitely go through the archives and check out our special on generational curses. We did a show on generational curses a couple years ago, which was very informative. You know, it says, "You know, I am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." You ever thought anything about generational curses, Courtney?
Yeah, I do believe in them. I think a lot of the things that, you know, the sins that a lot of people experience, you know, can be, you know, traced back, you know, to people in their family, you know, the sins of those in their families. But the good thing about it is that it can be broken, but you do need God, you know, to break those curses and to break those strongholds. But I've seen it firsthand.
Right. You guys heard, you got an opportunity to hear last night my special on Satanism in the entertainment industry, blasphemy in the entertainment industry. And we talked about people like Kanye West, Jay-Z, Oprah, Rihanna, you know, Beyonce, a lot of people, Barack Obama, who have done certain things that actually go against what this scripture says. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. And all I'm going to tell y'all is this. I don't even want to go too deep into it, but I'm just going to ask y'all to all, if you haven't already, check out, just do a Google search on Obama builds a throne of Satan. Just Google that. You know what I mean? And do some research on what the Luciferian doctrine, you know, in theology speaks about in regards to the throne of Satan and Barack Obama's inaugural participation in that. That's all I'm going to say about it. That's all I'm going to say about it. Just do that. You know what I mean? Just do some research and tell me what you find. Let me know what you find. It'll be very interesting. You know what I mean? It's interesting. But so do not make for yourself. You ever look at hip-hop? You ever look at, you know, some of these videos? A lot of these rappers wear Jesus pieces, Courtney?
Yes. Yeah, I do. I thought of Kanye West as soon as you said that.
Right.
But yeah.
Right, because Kanye West raps about Jesus pieces. He, you know, even made a Jesus piece with his own face on it in the image of Christ. That's like triple mockery, you know, right there. I mean, not only is it bad enough to just wear a Jesus piece, but this guy, he put himself as Jesus on the Jesus piece. Like, they put him underneath hell for that one. I mean, he's a funny dude, man, this guy. But it says right here, I mean, this is like exactly what the word says not to do. Do not make for yourself. Don't make yourself a Jesus piece. It says an image in the form of anything in heaven. Well, if Christ is in heaven and you make a Jesus piece, like a gold chain, Jay-Z, I mean, literally every Diddy, all these rappers wear these Jesus pieces. You know, that's a clear mockery taken straight from this verse. One of the most holy, you know, laws, you know, commandments. I mean, and you're doing exactly what it says not to do. You know, Barack Obama wears a ring. He doesn't even wear a regular wedding ring. Dude wears a ring that actually has inscribed in it, there is no God but Allah. Do you guys know that? Go ahead and do some research on Barack Obama's wedding ring. You know, when him and Michelle got married, they didn't go and pick out wedding bands. He said, no, I'm good, Michelle. I already got a ring. You know what I mean? I'm going to rock with this one. This one says, no God but Allah. Did you know that, Courtney?
Yes, I did. I remember you talking about that.
Why would the President of the United States, who claims to be a Christian, wear a ring for his, you know, his whole adult life that says there is no God but Allah? Why would he do that? Just Google it. You can see it. Just Google Obama wedding ring. Just do it right now, and you'll see. A lot of people are like, what do you mean? So what? So what he wears a ring that says no God but Allah? So what? Who are you? Why are you judging? It's a psycho. But, and even the president. You know, if you scroll back up, you know, it says, you shall have no other gods before me. There are people who put the president ahead of their relationship with God. They're more passionate, and we're more passionate about these elections, these debates, these, you know, these speeches, than they are about actual Jesus Christ, God. You know what I mean? Like, they don't, that's crazy. So, definitely, you know, you don't want to put anything ahead of Christ. But yeah, so I guess that's, you know, there are people who are actually building, you know, monuments and, you know, worshiping them. But look what Aaron and them did. You know, when they decided that they wanted to go against God, he went ahead and told them. He said, well, look, bring me your earrings. Go give me those bamboo earrings that you got, the Jesus pieces, and, you know, all your possessions, your favorite jewelry. And I'm going to melt them down. I'm going to make a gold calf, you know. And he made an actual calf. And they said, look, forget God. We're just going to worship this gold calf, you know. That's crazy, you know. But how many people actually do crazy stuff like that, you know, and just maybe not a gold calf, but maybe, you know, your car, you know, your career, whatever it is that you're worshiping. It says, I am a jealous God. So you don't want to do that. In fact, Kanye West, he put in one of his freestyles, Google it, it's right up there. He said, I sold my soul to the devil. it was a crappy deal, but at least it came with a few toys like a Happy Meal. Just go ahead. I mean, can you imagine who says that? Well, first of all, who does that? You know what I mean? But who actually does that and then actually says that and then acts like, oh, no, that was just, I didn't actually. Jennifer Hudson, would you sell your soul for it? Kanye West, I sold my soul to the devil. How many other celebrities have you heard speaking about actually selling their souls? I've heard hundreds. You know, I don't know about you, Courtney, but there's never been, you know, anything or any time or any scenario where I would even remotely think of saying anything like, or, you know what I mean, remotely, you know, having to do with selling my soul for any reason in any context. Have you?
No. But they do it all the time in those songs.
Right, right. These celebrities, there's like so many different, you know, songs and lyrics and references that have to do with selling your soul. Guess what, people? It's real. It happens. The price of fame is selling your soul. And this is what, you know, the word is saying. Well, look, you know, you don't have to do that. You should not do that. And if you do that, there will be severe consequences. Okay? So, I mean, it's, you know, this stuff is real. Well, look, and look here. It says, you know, going on, it says, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. What does he mean by that? What does that mean? You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. So, let's that basically mean, obviously you're not supposed to reference yourself as God, which is the whole basis of Satanism. You know, I don't know if y'all watch wrestling or that, but the WWE has, you know, for years been making a mockery of Christianity on the low. Like, they, you know, they have little different things, you know, with the Undertaker. I mean, I've actually seen a satanic ritual done right there on Monday Night Raw, which we talked about before, which was crazy. Probably one of those most crazy things I've ever seen in my life. Got it on tape if y'all want to see it. But they, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. They got this dude named Bo Dallas. His little catchphrase is Bo Leave. So in his little entrance to the, you know, when he's coming down to the ring, he gets down in the Tim Tebow stand, you know, the little, you know what I mean, down on one knee like he's praying, but he's calling himself basically God. He's saying, believe in Bo Dallas. Like, you know, if you guys watch wrestling, you look at the Shield, they say believe in the Shield. Everything is believe, and now this guy is called Bo Leave. These guys, the whole purpose of Satanism, the foundation of Satanism, is to reference yourself as a god. They believe that we're all gods. That's like the opposite of what the Word says. The Word, the God says, look, I am the Lord your God. I am a jealous God, and, you know, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Well, look at people like Jay-Z, Jehovah. Now, Courtney, I don't know. I don't have a PhD. I'm not a biblical scholar, but calling yourself Jehovah, when everyone knows that Jehovah is a name for God, but you're calling yourself Jehovah, that's making a mockery. Do you think that would qualify as misusing the name of the Lord your God?
Yes. That, along with Jesus, all this crap that people are doing, it's crazy.
Right. It's the same thing. You're misusing the name. You're making a mockery of God. Jesus, obviously Jesus. Jehovah, the Most High God. You know, Will I Am. Beyonce calls herself I Am. Well, the Bible says, look, they say, well, who sent you? You know what? Tell them I Am sent you. I Am means God. Why would Beyonce call herself I Am? I Am Sasha Fierce. You know what I mean? It's a play on words. It's a mockery. These all constitute what this verse says in regards to you shall not misuse, you shall not make a mockery of the name of the Lord your God. But here's the kicker. This is what the problem with it all is that it says, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Basically, if you support that crap, if you are the people who actually do it, you will not be guiltless. You will actually go to hell. You see what I'm saying? There will be no forgiveness. Is that not scary, Courtney?
That is. That is. And that's what people say, to fear the Lord.
It's funny. And this was just nothing but my ignorance. But, you know, back in the day, and really historically, as far as my life goes, I mean, I always, you know, had a love for God. I was like, okay, you know, yeah, I love God. I mean, God is, you know, he's cool. I always looked at him as my friend. But that was obviously before I was really in the Word. But when you really get in the Word and you really, like, get into it, I'm talking about, like, read it like it's a book, like you read those Zane books and like you read all these other weirdo, like, guys who were reading Steve Harvey books, like, or whoever, Eric Jerome Dickey, Omar Tyree, you know? Like, y'all know how y'all read. I'm talking about read the Bible like that. When you're into it, you can't put it down, which is exactly how Genesis is, Exodus is, Leviticus, you know, when you get into some of these books, you will see why we are to fear God. You know, I just saw X-Men the other last weekend, and these guys are some straight bastards, man, some satanic bastards out here. I don't know if y'all stayed to the end, and you saw what's coming, you know, with the dude at the end who's has everybody bowing down and worshiping him like he's a god. You know what I mean? I forget the name of him. Like, Osho had to tell me. He's like, oh, that's who he is. I forget his name. Starts with an A. I'm not, you know, into all the comic book crap like that. You know the history of it. But they got this guy, basically, that's going to be portraying himself as a god. You know, people bowing down, worshiping as they did in the Old Testament. It's crazy. You know, but I guess what's crazier is that how these entertainers and these directors and these these producers, they come up with these ideas and they sit at home and come up with new and creative ways to make mockeries. And this is what the Word is talking about. I don't know what y'all thought we were going to be talking about tonight. We're talking about the Old Testament. We're talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking about how it's relevant today in entertainment and politics and your life, you know, in my life, Courtney's life. So it's just deep stuff out here, Courtney. Did you think it was going to be this deep? Did you have any idea what we're going to be talking about tonight?
I didn't know it was going to get this deep, but I'm enjoying it. I really am.
I'll be real with y'all. I didn't know it was going to get this deep either. You know, see, with me, I don't really do these shows. This isn't really me. Like, a lot of the stuff that you guys hear on this show night in and night out, it's really God. Like, I'm just sitting here like, wow, like, you know what I mean? This is crazy, you know, because it's like certain things that, you know, he once said or he once discussed. Like, I'll be like, well, something will just pop into my mind. I'm like, oh, let me talk. That's why I'm like, sometimes it'll seem like I'm all over the place, because sometimes God will just tell me like, yo, say this right now. So I'm like, okay. So I just say it and it'll just pop out because I know it will bless somebody. So there's a method to my madness. But anyway. You don't want to misuse the name of the Lord. The Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. All right, if you look at Superman, you know, this is crazy. You know, if you look at the Old Testament, you know, El, you know, E-L, that means God, you know, in the Bible. You know, I don't know if you follow Superman all like that, Courtney, but what's Superman's real name? Do you know?
Clark Kent.
Jesus. I'm sorry. Now look at me. I just used the Lord's name. No, Courtney, it's not Clark Kent. It's Kal-El. Courtney.
Oh, sorry. So off.
She said Clark Kent.
Oh, my God.
Clark Kent. No, it's not Clark Kent. No, it is Clark Kent. No, it is Clark Kent. That's his human name. You know, but if you guys, and I was talking to Osho about this. Osho even broke this down for me. A lot of the stuff Osho, you know what I mean, it will introduce me. I'll do some research and we'll, like, have discussions about it. But, you know, because he used to be in the, you know, comics heavy. So, and now he's obviously a minister. He's able to show, like, wow, like, this is what this reference is. Because the world is based upon a lot of satanic ideologies, that's why they do the things that they do. Just Google and do some research on the biblical significance of El. You know, E-L. You know, it's you know, that's a name for God, you know, or a suffix. And so what you know, Kal-El, you know, Jor-El. You know, they basically are, you know, putting these people in positions of, you know, as being viewed as gods. They have godlike abilities, godlike powers. They can fly, they can, you know, do all types of stuff. You know, super strength, Kal-El. Anyone who doesn't see the biblical, and I didn't for a while either, but it's taken straight from the Old Testament. Half this stuff is taken straight from the Old Testament. You know, so it is. And I'm not even going to do it in injustice. But Osho even, I'm going to wait till he's here because I want him to explain it to y'all. But when we were talking about Godzilla. You know what I'm saying? And that, excuse me, and even that, you know, is taken, it has a lot of biblical significance. But I'm going to chill on that. I'm going to let him, because he broke it down for me, and I was just speechless. You know what I mean? And you guys, if you're familiar with him, you know what I mean? You get a chance to hear, you know, him on the Noah show when we did the alien show, otherwise known as Fallen Angels. You know what I mean? How he got, you know, broke that stuff down. So I'm going to let him, you know, break that down for you. But there's so many different things. Even a lot of these movies coming out now. You know, The Edge of Tomorrow, Tom Cruise, and this whole robot theme. That's going to be the next show, or one of the next shows me and Osho do, really part three of our special, is going to be talking about just Hollywood's obsession with robots and you know, half man, half robot, half, you know, reptile. You look at so many of these movies, RoboCop, Elysium, the new Edge of Tomorrow. Got another movie coming out I can't think of right now. You know, all types of craziness, man. And, you know, that's basically what we're – Transformers, brand new movie coming out. It's all, you know, references to, you know, fallen angels, you know, and their role. And it's crazy out here, man. It's crazy. So, but, yeah, so there's that. Remembering the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath – by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath, is the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Any thoughts on the Sabbath?
I was thinking about that, and I realized, one, that I don't honor it, or I haven't, you know. But then I see people that do, and I'm like, wow, you know. And I realized, you know, where it came from. You know, they weren't just doing it just to do it. Like, I'm talking about people that, like, really, they don't do anything, like, on Saturdays. It's like rest and, you know, relaxation.
Right, right. And that's really all it's about, you know. I mean, it's not all it's about, but, you know, it definitely is important. You know, the word is there for a reason. And I would just encourage everybody, you know, take some. I mean, I'm not here to preach to y'all, but you know what the word says, you know. And if nothing else, you know, go to church. You know what I'm saying? Go to church. And if you can't make it to church, because there's some days I can't make it to church, you know, do something for God. And I'm not talking about reading the Bible. I'm not talking about, although that could be, you know, something, but I'm talking about, you see, because reading the Bible is for you. Right? I mean, like, if you sit down and say, okay, I'm going to read, that doesn't do anything for God. That's you educating yourself. That's you being entertained, you getting more knowledge about what he wants you to know. That's not for God, per se. That is more so for you. But something that would be for God would be something that would be furthering his kingdom. God would rather you spread the word than to read the word. Okay, although reading the word is important, don't get me wrong. But, you know, if you got 1,000 Facebook friends, you got 4,000 Facebook friends, you know, don't just read the word and keep it to yourself. Why not tell somebody? Some people say, well, you know, Deon, you know, I notice you post a lot of scriptures. What's that all about? I say, well, this is my way of thinking. You know, I feel like God has done a lot of things for me, you know, everything for me. But, you know, I feel it's my obligation to give back. Because, you know, I know for a fact I have thousands of Facebook friends. Got like a million different pages. I'm in a number of different groups. You know, I mean, I don't know how. I mean, I know there are like hundreds of thousands of people who see my posts every single day. So I feel like it's my obligation to spread the word. You know, so, and that's why I'm blessed. That's why I continue to be blessed. And so, you know, I would say, you know, maybe your posts don't stretch that far, or you don't have a million different, you know, followers or Facebook friends or anything like that. But you can still spread it to the people who actually see it, whether it's 100 friends, whether it's 5,000 friends, whether it's, you know, 500. That's still more people that may not have heard the word in that moment coming from you. Does that make sense, Courtney?
Yeah, it does. And it's amazing how, you know, and this has happened to me where I've shared something like I've read in the Bible or something, and I shared it, and then someone that I don't even, you know, I don't really, you know, interact with much on Facebook, they'll say, wow, you know, that was right on time. So it's like you never know, like, who you could be touching. You know, people are going through some things. And so, yeah, why not share it? Why not spread the word?
Yeah, and I would encourage y'all all to, and I'm not saying go and judge people, but I just find it interesting that, you know, some people, like, there's some, and I'm not, like I said, it's not, if that's not your what you're into or you're not led to do that, then don't do it, you know. But what I'm saying is I would encourage you to do it, but I would say that if, you know, certain people will post things, and you can tell, like, they're just bored or they just wanted something to say in that moment. And it's just like, well, dang. Because even me, like, there. Sometimes y'all hear, like, sometimes I have a lot to say. Y'all know, like, tonight, I have a lot to say. That's why, like, some shows where we're not live and we come back live after being gone for a while, I have a lot to say. Other nights, if we're not live, then I most likely don't have too much to say in that moment. But, you know, and just like same thing with Facebook. Sometimes y'all might just see a lot of advertisements for the past shows or counseling services or, you know, come buy a car. And other times I'll have a lot to say about social issues, politics, you know, the entertainment industry, whatever it is, I'll have a lot to say. Sometimes I'll be passionate in that moment about, you know, relationship advice, or, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm passionate about our race, you know, different things. But sometimes I just don't have a lot to say, and I just won't say anything, you know. But, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times, and what I'm trying to do more of, and have been for some time, is that even when I don't necessarily have anything to say, there's still something to say. You see what I'm saying? There's still scriptures to post. There's always scriptures to post. There are always testimonies to share. And so I guess my point with all this is that in regards to the Sabbath, or any day of the week for that matter, there's always, you know what I mean? Because we're all on Facebook. We know how it is. You might want to say something. You might feel like, and you'll just say something stupid. You know what I'm saying? Like, just go to your Facebook timeline right now, and you'll see a lot of stupid posts, a lot of just posts about nothing, just absolute foolishness. I'll even see people say, I'm bored. You know what I'm saying? Like, that'll be the post. I'm bored. They'll be bored, but they won't even post a scripture. They won't even post a testimony about what God has done for them. Do you see what I'm saying, Courtney? Is that fair to God?
No, it's not.
But then they'll wonder why they're not being blessed. You see what I'm saying? You would rather talk about nothing than to post a scripture, than to say, hey, look, This is what God has done for me. And I'm not knocking anybody. I mean, I am knocking because we all, that's not fair, and God has done too much for me. He's done too much for you to ever front on him and not, you know what I'm saying, not want to share. Because why? Because it's not cool? Because those weirdos on your page might look at you like a weirdo? No, you're not weird if you post. I'm not weird. Anyone who has a problem with me or looks at me some type of way, they're the weirdos. Because if I'm living for God, if I'm posting about God, and you're posting about nothing, loving hip-hop or whatever else it is, who's the real weirdo? You know what I'm saying? Because anyone who doesn't have God, you know, I mean, they may not be considered weird, but they definitely aren't considered blessed. So it's just a matter of, like, putting things into perspective. You know, are you living for your Facebook friends? Because I'll tell y'all straight up, I don't know what y'all think. Like, I mean, and I know you guys don't care, but some people, like, I don't do what I do for likes. I don't do what I do for thumbs up. I will post something and genuinely, believe me when I say this, genuinely not care if it gets no thumbs up, because I know God is up there giving his thumb up. You feel what I'm saying? Like, when I do a show, I post hey, we're doing this show on the Ten Commandments. Tonight's show is crazy. Like, we're talking about some stuff. But if you go to my Facebook page, I might post something, and maybe nobody gave the thumb up. Does that mean y'all are listening now, and y'all didn't even give it the thumb up. And I'm not saying you have to. But what I'm saying is, just internally right now, ask yourself why you did not. Just seriously, I mean, no, all jokes aside, ask yourself, was it because you didn't want people to know that you were going to be listening to the Dadon Tolbert Show tonight instead of watching Love and Hip Hop? Because Love and Hip Hop is politically correct or socially correct, socially acceptable. Listening to that guy who talks about God or does shows about relationships, that's not cool. Right? I mean, I'm just being honest. What's the real reason that you didn't give it? It's not about a thumb up, but be honest. What's the reason you didn't give it? Because somebody else, I see a lot of these guys out here, these guys living in the world, these fake Facebook players, these hustlers, these entrepreneur guys, they post something. I just took a crap. They got 300 thumbs up. I'm like, what the heck? I'm like, let's do a show on the Ten Commandments. Let's do a show about God and how to get your life together, how to be saved. No thumbs up. But this guy, this weirdo, this drug dealer, this, you know, this dude, this promoter, they get 1,000 thumbs up just because they said, hey, look, da-da-da-da. I'm not, you see, I don't, that's not what I want, but I'm just saying. Do you see a discrepancy there, Courtney? And, you know, some type of inconsistency, some type of problem with that?
Mm-hmm. I see that all, you know, the worldly type of posts, they, you know, have the most popularity. I do notice that.
Right. So I would just say, and it's the worldly post and the worldly people. You know what I mean? The worldly people
right.
in general have the most popularity. But listen, to be loved by the world makes you an enemy of God. Please understand that. You cannot be loved by the world. Beyonce, Barack Obama, whoever else is loved by the world, you cannot be loved by Oprah Winfrey and be, you know, loved by God. The word substantiates that. And I got to look into this. I haven't really, you know, done my research on it, but we spent a lot of time talking about Maya Angelou on Friday night, and I've been hearing some things that, you know, in regards to her friendship with Oprah Winfrey, and, you know, and definitely rest in peace, you know, rest in peace to Maya Angelou, did some really great things, you know, for the community, and no one can take that away from her, but, you know, I just pray that, you know, before she passed, she accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. You know, because I know Oprah Winfrey doesn't, you know, she believes that there's more than one name for God, there's more than one way to heaven, and, you know, from what I've been hearing, that's a belief that was also shared by Maya Angelou, and so I pray that, you know, that was not the case, and that she did, in fact, accept Jesus Christ before she died, you know, as her Lord and Savior, and only Lord and Savior, because as you guys know, there is only one way to heaven, there is only one name of God. And the other name is false and it's fake, you know. And so, you know, just pray for anyone who has adopted these new age views. And as time goes on, it will become more and more popular to not call God God or not call God Jesus Christ, you know, and to come up with all these other beliefs. And we just begun to see the level of blasphemy out here. But I would just say pray for everybody who, you know, is in that boat. But yeah, so there's that, you know, just respecting the Sabbath and just honoring God with your time, you know what I mean? Just because who knows? Maybe you got to work on Sunday, maybe you're tired one day. I mean, hey, do what you do, but just, you know, God knows your heart. That's all it's about. God knows your heart. You know what I mean? He knows if you genuinely want to take some time and honor Him on that day, and He knows if you just don't feel like it. So just make sure your heart is right and you're good. You know, that's what it is. A lot of people, Courtney, I mean, has your heart always been right?
No. Nope.
I was reading today, actually, in Exodus, and this was something deep. I don't have it in front of me right now because my Bible is actually in another room. I should have brought it down. I have stuff highlighted. But I was reading when they were building the ark, you know, and the tabernacle, and you know, it said, you know, when people were, they were asking people to donate their goods so they could, you know, so they could assist, you know, with the building of everything that they had to build. And it was like, you know, it was a specific way that it was worded, you know, we're saying that, and people gave, everyone whose hearts were willing, they gave. But if you guys look at the wording of that, my interpretation of it was that everyone's heart wasn't right. You know what I'm saying? Some people's heart, they said everyone whose heart was in the right place and gave. And a lot of people, they had that hardened heart. You know what I mean? They saw what everybody was doing. They saw the goal at hand, but everyone didn't necessarily feel led to give their most valuable possessions to bring about the construction of one of the most, you know, holy constructions of all time. How deep is that?
That is so deep. That really is. I mean, it's just, you know what it makes me think about? Just, you know, when God promises you a blessing and, you know, just really doing the work and just being obedient, you know, so that you can get that blessing instead of just having an attitude, you know, or feeling some type of way because it's not happening when you want it to.
Right, absolutely. And you got to, you know, it's all about not having those attitudes, not getting, you know, feeling some type of way, just having a genuine heart, you know. But, yeah. But anyway, so there's that. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God has given you. Honoring your father and mother. Wow. What do you think about that, Courtney? Do we all do a good job of honoring our father and mother?
No, I know I haven't. I'm guilty of not doing that all the time. And that's something I had to personally self-reflect on.
Oh, do tell.
Yeah.
How so?
Well, I just really, for the longest, I didn't get along with my mom. And, you know, a lot of it just was because of issues that I was going through and just being angry. Just, you know, with my parents not being together. Just a lot of stuff. And just taking that out, like, in the form of rebellion. And I wasn't the most respectful to her. In fact, I was very, very disrespectful toward my mother because I was going through things, and I was taking it out on her. So I had to do some self-reflection on that. And now, you know, we're building to get to a good place, and I do thank God for that.
Right. That's a blessing. That's definitely a blessing. Shout out to Mom if she's listening. You know what I mean? Everybody say hi to Courtney's mom. You know what I mean? Hey, Mom. But,
really?
Here's the thing about that. We all have to honor our mothers and fathers. I'm gonna take a different approach to this. There's a lot of hoes out here, you know, and that's a very true statement. But at the same time, there's a lot of niggas out here. There's a lot of players out here, a lot of dogs out here, you know, and the problem with it is, and a lot of those hoes, a lot of those players, those dogs, those womanizers, many of them grew up without great moms, great fathers, great influences, you know, and even not having those influences in many cases is the reason for those women being hoes, is the reason for those men not respecting women. But, and that's no excuse, but it is the case in many cases. But in other cases, it's not. It's you actually did have a father who loved you, actually had a mom who wasn't. Oh, yeah, a lot of the moms of today, a lot of the grandmoms of today actually love Beyonce and are actually hoes themselves, and it's no surprise why certain women have turned out to be that way. That's, you know what I mean? A lot of guys were, fathers were actual pimps, who disrespected your mom, and so it's no coincidence that that man grew up to be an abuser, who doesn't respect. But a lot of times, you had a father who taught you right from wrong, but you still turned out to be a drug dealer, a pimp, a bastard, a deadbeat, a womanizer. And that is not what the word is referring to when it says honor your father and your father and mother. You want to get to a point where you look at, you respect your parents, and respecting your parents means never being someone's hoe. Don't let some, because I know my mom wasn't a hoe. You see what I'm saying? She was a respectable woman. My dad is a hardworking man. You see what I'm saying? So, that's how I was raised. So I'm not going to see, my father being a hardworking man, my grandfather being a hardworking man, my mom being a respectable and hardworking woman, and then I all of a sudden am a father and a husband, and I just go ahead and do the opposite. That wouldn't be me honoring my father and mother because they've set forth an example for me. You see, that would make me ignorant. That would make me a nigga. Go outside, look at these niggas standing in a corner, pants hanging down. One of the things, my grandfather told me is he said, this is nothing new. People think this sagging pants is something new. My grandfather told me that as a kid. I remember my grandfather who died at 100 years old who told me, look, if I ever see you with your pants hanging down like that, I'm going to put you over my knee. I remember that. This was when I was like 8 years old, 9 years old. Kids were walking around like that. You see what I'm saying? So believe me, this is nothing new. There have always been niggas out here. That is not honoring your father and mother because in most cases, your parents actually respected themselves. What do you think about that, Courtney?
Yeah, that's so true. I was thinking about somebody today I saw with their pants just sagging. I was just like, where are your parents? are you really honoring your parents by dressing like this or behaving this way? Or think of the young girls who, wear, revealing clothing or, cursing like sailors. That I think of that, too, and how disrespectful that is, and they're not honoring the parents.
Right. So, and also, too, just to add an addendum, if I can do that without being blasphemous myself, but, parents honor your kids. You know what I'm saying? I know what the word says, but I'm just saying, can we talk about parents honoring their kids as well? Because there are a lot of moms out there, boob shots, cleavage shots, booty shots. Next thing right there in the next picture in the same album is a picture with their kid. I'm just like, wait a minute, how you got your kids, in the same picture as you putting yourself out there trying to be a hoe? You're texting a man, sending a man naked pictures that he's then going to send to his homies, but you have children who you wouldn't want doing that, who you're hopefully going to tell, hey, look, don't do this, and this is why you shouldn't do this. These are all things that we have to take into consideration. It's like you have kids like me. I have a daughter. I can't do certain things. You never see my wife on Facebook with her ass out. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to see that. One, because she's not a hoe, but then two, because she has a daughter who neither of us would want to grow up to be a hoe. And I would just encourage everybody, don't put your own sexual and emotional needs ahead of the needs of your children and the importance of them seeing someone who clearly respects themselves. A lot of people saying, wow, you got all that from the Bible. Yeah, I got all that from the Bible. A lot of people, it's not as rigid as people think. It's very, very applicable to everything that's going on out here. Got to honor your kids. You got to honor your parents. Got to respect God. You got to fear God. And when you do that, you got to love God. When you have the love of God, there was a debate, about going to church. We talked about it briefly on Friday, but just to kind of revisit it, you don't have to go to church every Sunday. But the thing about it is that when you love God, you're going to want to be in the house of the Lord, not just on Sunday, but you're going to look forward to it. You're going to want to be around other believers. You're going to want to get your praise on. You're going to want to hear music. You're going to want to hear the preaching. You're going to want a fellowship. And that's when you have an actual relationship with God. But when you don't have that relationship with God, it's going to be a lot easier to just sit in, sleep in on Sunday morning and say, oh, yeah, I'm spiritual. I can worship in my living room. You ever try worship in your living room? I mean, not saying they can't, because I've done it before myself. But, typically the people who usually say that aren't really worshiping in their living room, doing something else in the living room, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm guilty myself. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, not to take this in another direction, it's just going to be one quick statement. But I know that some people like myself, because right now I'm, looking for a church home, and some people have been just really hurt by the church. And I think that's a big mistake, because sometimes we put people, or we do all the time, put people on a pedestal, and we don't make it about the relationship with God, and we make it more so about the people that we're going to church with. And I just wanted just to say that don't let that, deter you from your faith just because of a bad experience.
Okay, that's excellent advice. That's excellent advice. Okay. Because that's what often happens. Or not even, definitely that. But then also, there will be people I hear a lot of people saying, my ties are going to, him driving a Bentley. Why are you worried about what kind of car your pastor drives? There's nothing wrong with that. Now, I'm not into prosperity preaching and all that, but at the same time, I like nice cars, And so if you work, and certainly, and in many cases, a lot of people don't realize it's the same thing. Like, in fact, it's deeper. Like, if your job, is leading a church, getting up every week and, delivering the word and ministering and counseling and pastoring, that's a lot. Like, that's a lot. I don't think there's anything wrong with supporting your family, because if a lot of pastors have doctorates, have, educational backgrounds where they could go out into the world and make $200,000, $300,000, $100,000 a year or whatever it is, but they're choosing that lifestyle. So why, if they worked a different lifestyle, they would have certain things. Who's to say that they can't have nice things and do the word of God? That doesn't make sense. Why should the drug dealers have all the fun? Now, I'm not saying you should live that type of lifestyle, but what I'm saying is you can't have the desires of your heart. No, of course you can. Maybe you want to have something nice. I like to have a nice big screen TV, a nice house, a nice car to drive, but at the same time, I'm passionate every day, about giving the word of God to you guys, doing shows like this, posting scriptures, ministering, counseling. That's what I do daily. So why can't I drive a Benz? Why can't I have my wife drive a nice car? Why can't I have, take a trip? It's just a question, And so I believe that, when you get into, getting into other people's pockets and their bank accounts and why they got to do this and where's my money going, well, then you're in the wrong church. I happen to go to a church where the pastor, it's a huge mega church, but I've never heard of anything like this done, being done before. But my pastor, he doesn't take offering on New Year's Eve. Now, if you guys know anything about church, New Year's Eve and Easter probably are the two biggest nights of any church year, But New Year's Eve, the mega church is filled to capacity. But he says, look, you know, keep your money, but give a sacrifice in other ways, you know. And so every year he does different things. I've been going there for 10 years, and he's never collected offering on New Year's Eve. And it's, you know, it's a small gesture, but we're talking about hundreds of thousands of potential dollars that are not coming into his, you know, his pocket or into the pockets of the church. So all I'm saying is, you know, it's if you are concerned, now, does he drive a nice car? Yeah. But if you're concerned or even thinking about, well, maybe this money is being misappropriated, then you need to do what Courtney's doing and find a new church. Any thoughts on that?
I don't really have any things to add to that. But, I had those thoughts.
Oh, not to cut you off. There's some people out there, there are people out there who will let that keep them from church. It's one thing to say, you know what, I have some concerns about where this money is going. I have some concerns about the pastor and his, you know, whether or not he's genuine. So I'm going to leave the church. Not I'm going to find a different church where I can be spiritually fed and led by God, you know, or where the pastor is being led by God, I should say. But I'm just going to sleep in on Sundays. Well, like, well, what kind of relationship do you have? That's like saying, well, I don't like my job, so I'm going to quit my job and then just not work. Well, nah, you're not going to just quit your job. You may quit your job, but you're going to make sure you have another job. You're going to make sure you have something. But yet people don't do church like that. So, you know, it is what it is. And that's the most important thing. What else, though? What else we got here? Do they want us to talk about adultery, Courtney? Should we do that?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, man, you already said yes. Yes. Oh,
I think
man.
You're gonna play me. That's okay.
Well, what's your understanding of that?
You know what I thought of? I didn't just think of like. You know, a man cheating on his wife or a woman on his husband. I thought about how you commit adultery just by lusting. You know, even just thinking about sex, not even the act of it. Just even when it's anger, that's what I was thinking about. Because a lot of people don't know that God looks at that as adultery.
Right. Right. Here's the thing. First and foremost, adultery is stupid. Okay? Not just adultery is stupid. You're stupid if you commit adultery. Well, you say, well, what do you mean by that? No, I didn't say that. That's what the word says. Over in Proverbs 6:32 says, he who commits adultery lacks sense. He who does it destroys himself. So that basically means you're stupid. If you commit adultery, you're not smart. You know? So, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory right there. But aside from that, when you look at what adultery, I think a lot of times when people look at adultery, they think of, you know, cheating on your wife, cheating on your husband, you know, cheating on, you know, a spouse or, you know, boyfriend, infidelity of some sort. But it's a lot deeper than that. You know, it's actually saying that over in Matthew 5:28 says, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with his or her heart. You see what I'm saying? That's actually, so with that, and that opens up a whole nother can of worms. In fact, we may even have to do, we've done a show on what the Bible says about sex and what the Bible says about fornication, which was absolutely crazy, probably one of the deepest shows we've ever done. But we may have to do a specific show on lust. What do you think about that, Courtney? Should we do it?
Yes, we should. Yes, we should.
Oh, man. Oh, man, what is this? What the heck? We must not indulge in sexual immorality as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. 1 Corinthians 10:8. Man, Exodus 20:14, you shall not commit adultery. You know what I'm saying? So, there's so many applicable scriptures to, you know, that pertain to lust and adultery and sex. But, I mean, let's keep it real. How many people, you know, watch a movie with the sole purpose of lusting after the person, you know, playing in it? You know, pornography, you know, Scandal or you know, any of these shows, you know, McDreamy, McSteamy. I know y'all watch Grey's Anatomy out there. You know what I'm saying? So I had to tell my wife, I'm like, look, you can't be lusting after McDreamy. I mean, I'm right here. I'm in the bed with your wife. No. So, no, I'm just saying. It looks like I'll be sleeping on the couch tonight again. All right, it's all good. But it was worth it. That was funny. No, I'm just playing. No, she doesn't lust after McDreamy. She prefers Columbus Short on Scandal. But, yeah, you see what I'm saying? As soon as you lust, you've already committed adultery. And so that's, you know what I mean? And you know, if you guys know about, you know, what the word says about, you know, idolatry and the sexual, you know, it says right here over in Ephesians 5:5, it says, for you may be sure of this. It says, look, don't get it twisted. It said, look, if you don't believe anything else, you better believe this. It says, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. I might have to just go ahead and put that on Facebook. You know, there's a lot of lusting that goes on the late night, right? I mean, keep it real, Courtney. It's a lot of creeping. Even on a Monday, it's a lot of creeping out there. A lot of phone kind of conversation. A lot of boo loving. You ever been boo loving on a Monday night, Courtney?
Yes. We call it something different here, but yeah.
What you call it?
We call it caking.
What? Caking?
Yeah. Caking.
What kind of crap is that? What kind of ghetto stuff is that? Caking? Kind of
Like cake, but yeah, caking. Yeah.
I'm not even going to try to break that down because I'm afraid of what that means. But yeah. Who calls it that? Like, who you be hanging out with? Like, I mean, you and your homies? I mean, like, who says that? Who calls it that?
Yeah, that's just common. Men and women say it. It's just slang here. It just means, like, you know, you're talking to somebody you're interested in. You know, being romantic, you're caking.
All right. Interesting. Shout out to all our Chi-Town listeners out there, Chicago. Got some. You know, it's a lot of different terms, guys, but it all means the same thing. You know what I mean? It's lusting. You know, I posted, we'll talk about this in a little bit. You know, I posted, what are some red flags in regards to how you know when somebody's targeting you for sex or not taking you seriously. I forget. I think Terry said, I know she was joking, but it's actually a very good point. She said, when they lick their lips or bite their bottom lip when they look at you. But that's basically it. That's lusting. You know what I mean? That's caking right there. All right, Courtney? Caking? Cake.
You're using it in the wrong context, but yeah.
I know. Because it's ridiculous. You know, there is no proper context to use cake in. I mean, how do you use that in a sentence? But seriously, how do you use that? Like, what would be the proper context for caking?
It's usually like if you're talking to somebody on the phone that you like, and, you know, you're being romantic and, you know, sweet talking them. You say, oh, you're on the phone caking.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. I got it. That's what y'all be doing on the late night, caking.
Yeah.
You know, lusting, boo loving, creeping, you know, setting up the booty call. Anybody ever get a text talking about some, what you doing? Talking about some, you up, you know? That's caking. I'm going to be saying that for the next couple of days. You guys bear with me because I think it's a funny term. but it says though you shall not commit adultery. I mean, obviously I mean, you know, you don't want to cheat on your wife. You don't want to cheat on your husband. I mean, that should go without saying. But it's I'm just saying that it's so much more than that. A lot of people don't look at themselves as being adulterers, but in reality they are, because they're lusting. All right? That dude, you know, who you work with, you know, and you're just waiting for him to say something to you so you can give him your number and end up being his jump off or his booty call. I mean, because keep it, I mean, cause, like, can we be honest for a second? Ladies, y'all ever meet somebody, it's like, yo, if he says something to me, I'm giving him the draw.
Why do you make it sound so ridiculous?
Because it is. You look, like, I'm not going to say anything to you, but if you introduce yourself to me, if you even say hi to me, this is yours. You know? I'm just being, come on, don't act like y'all don't know. You know, since I know nobody ain't going to press one and call and be like, yo, you right, Dadon. I feel you. You know, I'm going to have to put Courtney on the spot. I mean, Courtney, back in the day, you know, you didn't want to be extra. You didn't want to do the most, as they say up there in Chi-Town. But at the same time, you knew that, you know, if he said something, if he was interested, then you would be interested, and it might be able to go down.
Yeah, exactly. And what I would do is I wouldn't approach the guy, but I'll give him that look to let him know I'm interested.
I got to tell y'all something. That look that Courtney's talking about, that look that many of you are all too familiar with, as a man, I've gotten plenty of those looks, believe me. But understand, that is the hoe look, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the hoe look. Like, when you give a man that look, that basically tells him that you're a hoe. And what I mean by that is that you would be willing to let him smash if he wanted to smash, or if he did the, you know, went through the motions of doing what it took to get you, you know, to that point, whether that was going out for a couple of drinks, whether that was, you know, going to a movie or maybe just asking you over to the crib. You know, we all know that look. And all I'm saying is that is lusting. That is adultery. And, you know, and the word says, you know, those are people who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we all know if you don't inherit the kingdom of God, then that's, you know, not only is it, you know, hell, but it's also not achieving heaven on earth, not achieving the life that God has planned for you here, you know. And that's what I think a lot of people, you know, it's like, well, I want to be a wife, I want love, but you're committing adultery by lusting, by sex, through porn, and dressing like a hoe, and, you know, you're wondering why that those things have not happened for you. It's not that God isn't blessing you, but it's because you're living an adulterous lifestyle, you know, a lustful lifestyle. And I think that once more people put the connection of lusting with actual adultery, well, you know, you'll start seeing things a little bit differently. So, and the fellas too. I mean, it's no different. You know, shout out to everybody who tuned into our two-night special. You know, on part one was the top 10 things that women need to do in order to find love, all-time classic show. And then the part two was that we did last week, the top 10 things that men need to do to find love. And so, I mean, those are two of those shows that are just going to be, you know, embedded in history as far as the all-time blueprint on what to do to live the life that you ultimately want to live. I would implore anyone who missed that show or those shows to go back and listen to it, because it wasn't like one was for the men, one was for, like, as if you heard them, you know, the men's show, there was tons of advice for the women, and, you know, and vice versa. So there's that. What else? I mean, we might have to stay in lust for a little bit more, because there's so much stuff. What's this here that says in 1 Thessalonians? It says, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you, excuse me, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God." That is so deep right there. That's so deep. It said, look, you guys are supposed to be the people of God, but some of y'all are bigger freaks than the Gentiles who don't even know God. You know, the people in the world, which any man will tell you out here, some of the biggest freaks are the women in the church. You know, I'm just, shout out to Marv, shout out to Lewis, shout out to James and Steve from Barbershop Talk, where we did that show on church girls, you know, and our experiences with them. And this is no disrespect to women who love God, but, I mean, you know, those experiences are valid. A lot of freaks out here in the church, more so than in the world. A lot of women say, what do you mean by that? They don't. Well, yeah, what we're saying is some of the women who claim to love God are more freaky than women who are in the world. And a lot of that is because the women in the world, a lot of them are in the world because they have that attitude. You know, and you guys know how it is. If you got that attitude, then you want to play hard to get with the booty. You know what I mean? You want to have an attitude. You want to play tug of war with the panties. And, you know, it's like a lot of guys don't have time for that. They just want to keep it moving. And so that's a lot of women in the world. But when you get into the church, that's when you put on the churchly facade, you know, that's give the church hugs and got the nice personality, da 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 da. But then behind closed doors, it's like, boom. You know, all hell breaks loose. So our experience as men is that typically not only is it easier to get, but it's like on a whole, I don't want to be too graphic, but it's on a whole nother level than the Gentiles who don't even know God, as the Bible confirms. How real is that, Courtney?
That's so real. I wonder if part of it is just because you're trying to do right and the temptation is even stronger. Because you're trying to do the right thing, you just fall victim to it.
That's exactly what it is. That is exactly what it is. You know, the temptation is always going to be stronger when you're trying to do right. When you're walking with God, the temptation is going to be a lot harder than when you are not walking with God. Because when you're not walking with God, it's not temptation. You just kind of do what you want to do. You know? So if you want to have sex, you just go and have sex. It's not a temptation aspect of it. You're only tempted if you know it's something wrong. You know what I'm saying? If it's not wrong to you, then it's not a temptation. Just do it. Oh, we forgot about you shall not murder. I mean, I think that's pretty much self-explanatory, you know, but obviously when you look at the black community, when you look at how we treat ourselves, you know, shout out to everybody who tuned in to our special on the 2-year anniversary of the Trayvon Martin, death, where we talked about gun violence in America, Trayvon Martin 2 years later. Definitely check that out. There's a serious problem in the black community. Just in general, but specifically within the black community. And we really just need to, adopt the way of the word, basically. You know, we got to look at what the word says about murder and killing and violence and, you know, because it's not pleasing to God. Now, you know, so you don't want to murder. But aside from that, you have to understand, in the word and also in society, as far as the legal system goes, and we talked a lot about this with George when we did our special on The Verdict, you know, very controversial show. I know my views differed from many people out there in regards to the Trayvon Martin case, the George Zimmerman verdict, and definitely go ahead and check out the archives if you missed that. But, you know, you guys have to understand that legally and biblically, all killings are not necessarily murder. There's murder. I mean, even in the legal system, there are things called justifiable homicide. There are things called self-defense. There's things called manslaughter. You know, there's, you know, second-degree murder, first-degree murder, third-degree murder. There's, you know, so many different, you know, aspects of the law. But you have to, I think that some people, you know, when you get emotions involved, you know, if somebody dies, then it's, oh, that is murder, without looking at the facts, where everything that's, you know, where that involves a loss of a life is not necessarily murder. And so I would just encourage everybody to, you know, familiarize themselves with the word, but also familiarize themselves with the legal system in your particular state in regards to stand your ground, in regards to, you know, what the difference between first-degree murder is, premeditation, like all that stuff. Like, I went to school for a lot of that stuff, studied all throughout my life, so I've made it my business to, you know, stay pretty informed. But I know a lot of times when, you know, when it's a loved one or it's someone in the media that you become emotionally attached to, there becomes less of a, you know, a distinction or a desire to even, you know, understand the distinction between, you know, manslaughter or self-defense. It's just like, look, you murdered, you know. So, yeah, any thoughts on, I mean, it's pretty self-explanatory, but any thoughts on that, Court?
No, I don't really have anything to add to that.
Yeah, it's deep, man, it's deep. But I'll probably be rebroadcasting that special. I try to keep y'all on a rotation. You know, sometimes I'll go deep into the archives, but I pretty much like to, you know, like if y'all miss something, I try to rebroadcast like a week later, a couple weeks later, and then just kind of, I mean, we've done thousands of shows, so I'll switch it up on y'all, man, like just throw something in there for y'all. So, but yeah, look out for that when I'll be rebroadcasting that special, you know, shortly. What else, though? Adultery, stealing. I mean, you know, you shall not steal. I think we all know, you know, it's not right to steal. You know, and if you do steal, you have to repay those goods. You know, you have to make restitution for whatever it was that was stolen. But I wanted to look at it from a different perspective, though. You know, when we look at stealing, you often think about physical goods, material goods, but stealing could also involve the thievery of someone's heart, you know, someone's emotions. You know, it's a lot of men out here playing, manipulating, you know, playing games, manipulating, you know, relationships that really aren't relationships end up being situations, but women thinking that they're relationships and the man stealing that woman's, you know, body, using her for her body, you know, that's all not, you know, pleasing in God's eyes and what would be applicable, you know, or relevant when looking at this law here in regards to do not steal. You know, a lot of women out here playing games, you know, stealing, not necessarily pickpocketing men, but using the, you know, the booty, the punani, if you will, you know, to manipulate a man into doing certain things, giving certain favors, paying certain bills, you know, all with the illusion that it will result in sex. That's a form of thievery. Would you agree, Courtney?
Yes, it is.
You know? I mean, and is that something that you can relate to back in the day when you were in your game-playing stage of, you know, giving the illusion that you were a freak or would be putting out if he did certain things?
I did play games. It wasn't really about sex, like actually doing it, but making them believe that I was going to, doing everything but having sex. Like those types of games I used to play with guys. So, yeah, and even when I did have sex, I didn't get anything in return. It wasn't like I had bills paid or anything like that. It was more so me just pretending just to be a freak.
What were you trying to do, though? What was that?
Just to answer your question, it was more so about I thought that if I did certain things sexually, that man would take me seriously. So it was never about money or, you know, buying me things or anything like that. I just thought that he would view me in a favorable light if I showed him something, if I showed him something I could do sexually because I wasn't confident in myself.
That's crazy. A lot of times, you're right. I mean, I get that all the time. You know, a lot of women, well, I shouldn't say I get that all the time, but back in the day, you know, I could relate to that. A lot of women, you know, giving the impression or the illusion that they were freaks, that they could, I mean, well, they were actually freaks, but they wanted to let you know that they were freaks. Y'all know how it goes. Like, y'all know y'all freaks, you know, in many cases, but you want to let the man know what he's working with or what he can hope to look forward to. I mean, keep it real. I mean, you guys know the deal. I mean, the fellas know. Ladies, you know what you do, what you wear, You know, you looking at, you got that full length mirror with the sole purpose. Went to Walmart, went, got the $9.99 full length mirror still on the back of your door right now with the sole purpose of being able to turn around and look and see how it's sitting up. You know what I mean? When you got that dress on, you put them tights on, them jeans on, you want to see what he sees, right? I mean, that's the reason why you purchased it from Target. You say, oh, I need a, you got a nice mirror right in the, right on your bedroom, you know, dresser. But the only problem with it is you can't see the whole thing. So you said, look, I got to get something for the back of the door. Corey, come on, you know what it is. You know what I'm talking about. You got that mirror, mirror right on the back of your door right now, don't you?
Yes, I do. I've always had it.
Yeah. I know. And so do y'all out there. So I've never been to Courtney's house, but I know she got that thing on the back of her door. Just like I know that all y'all got that thing on the back of y'all door. The reason being so you can see what they see. You know, and many of y'all will actually, I know I'm not y'all, I know no one listening to this show does it. I'm talking about the other people out there. They will actually wear certain things, and then based on what they see when they turn around and look back, ain't that what Beyonce says? Look back at it or some stupid crap like that. Looking night, some dumb, you know what I'm saying, some stupid stuff. But that's what y'all do. You know, y'all want to see what they see. And so, I'm not knocking that because, you know, I want to make sure I leave out the house looking presentable too. But at the same time, you just want to do it with the understanding that if he sees you in a certain light, that's going to cause him to treat you in a certain manner that's not going to revolve around anything but sex. Okay? Nothing but sex. Sex, 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 and more sex. And then, but you know, the problem with that is, even though you get the full-length mirror to see what they see, to look a certain way, you still want to be viewed respectable. You still want to be a wife. So you don't want to do that. You don't want to steal. Don't steal. Don't play with his emotions. Don't interact with him under false pretenses. Because it will not have a positive result for how he'll view you, and it won't have a positive result for how God will view you. Gosh, I love the Bible. I mean, who would have thought? Who would have thunk it? You know what I mean? Like, who would have thought you'd be able to get all that? Who would have thought you'd be talking about the full-length mirror from the Ten Commandments? The people not listening tonight, they thought it was going to be some type of boring sermon that they were used to hearing on Sunday. They don't know who, you know what I mean? Would you believe there's some people out there who've actually never listened to the show, Courtney? You know, people who are on my friends list, who are on your friends list, people who are even in the group that have never actually clicked on the link just because, I don't even know, I can't imagine why anybody wouldn't. But you see what I'm saying? Is that not crazy?
That is crazy. In the group, in the Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show group, and don't listen? Wow.
It's crazy. I see a call on the line from the 773 area code. Welcome. I totally forgot about the phone line. I apologize. I'm just, you know, in my little zone here. But no, 773-236. Welcome to the Dayton Tolbert Show.
Hi. I'm sorry. Hi.
Oh, hello. Welcome.
Yeah, I'm here. Well, first of all, I was going to say, my name's Tiffany. I follow you on Facebook, and I try to follow you as much as I can online when I can make it. And I love your teachings. Ever since I heard you talk and listen in, I've learned a lot. But I just had to say, I had laughed because you talked about the mirror on the door. I don't have one on the door.
I have a mirror over
my dresser.
Okay, and you can see the whole body?
I can't see my whole body on my dresser, but I found myself literally, I was standing on top of the bed, and I was turned sideways, and I was starting to imagine what would a man liking me. Because sometimes I think I would have to look a certain way to attract a certain guy. And probably I would just get tired of waiting. So,
wow, how's that working out for you?
I'm still holding on, but I do get a little weak sometimes. Where to the fact where I don't even want to go on dates, because if I go on dates, I just might, you know, slip. Because the type of guys are out of track.
You said you just might slip?
Yeah, or jump into
slip
a snare.
Slip how? You know, like sexually?
Yeah.
I respect. Let me just tell you something real quick. I respect you. I don't know you or anything about you, but you have a nice spirit. You know, you have a humble spirit. You have a nice, I can hear it in your voice. You know, you want love and, you know, and you're doing the right thing by following me on Facebook, by listening to this show. But not only that, by calling into the show and being able to put yourself, what you just said is what thousands of people who are listening now and will be listening over the next couple of days and, you know, to the archives are all thinking. Just like I knew Courtney had that mirror, just like I knew you stand up on the chair, on the bed, everybody does that. All women do it. But very few people have the courage to actually call in and admit it. So you're already on the right path. And just know that you don't have to do those things to attract a man. Just be yourself, and your spirit is what's going to really attract those guys. What do you think about that?
I love it. I'm still listening. I'm still holding on.
Where you from?
Right now, I'm actually from Chicago, the Chicago area.
Oh man, so you and Courtney be standing on the table together? That's your BFF, Courtney. Y'all could have her over. Just tell her, look, you ain't got to stand on the bed. You could just come over to my crib. I got the one on the back of the door. You know what I'm saying? Oh, but shout out to her, man. What's that? Tiffany? She's her name was.
Mm-hmm.
She said Tiffany. Yeah, Tiffany. Yeah, shout out to her, man. Now I respect that though. I think everybody can agree. She sounded very nice, very very warm spirit. You know what I mean? And that's real. But you know, like she said, how many women, Courtney, over the years have we heard even allude to, forget even say it, but even allude to going out on dates and ended up having sex? I mean, very few, right?
Right.
The reality is everybody does it, okay? More often than not, men will get sex on the first night, like she just said. And I really do respect, I have nothing but respect for anybody who will actually admit, hey, look, yeah, I was a hoe, but guess what? I'm listening to this show. I'm getting these counseling services. I'm in the Bible because I don't want to be a hoe anymore. I want to put God first. I want to be a woman of God. I want to be a virtuous woman. I want to change my life. I want to stop being a freak. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem is when you know what you're doing is wrong, but you continue doing it. It's never too late to do the wrong thing. And so use her as an example. And even if you don't want to press one, but you know you're standing up on the bed, stand up on the table trying to see what that booty looks like in them jeans, you know that even after looking at that booty in them jeans and you're attracting certain guys and you end up giving your body to those guys, you know you can relate to exactly what she just said. Yo, add yourself to the Each Woman group, all women group, specifically for sharing stories like that, the sisterhood, and, you know, just building that bond. And, you know, and if you want to change, you know, it's never too late to reach out for counseling. You know, I've worked with a number of women, you know, like that, you know, women who used to be hoes, who are no longer hoes, or in fact now wives. You know, call me. It's not a gimmick. It's not a game. You guys know what I do. You know, reach out for help and get that testimony, you know. I mean, how much more time do you guys want to waste? You want to be a wife or you want to be single, you know, out there in the club and having sex? And, you know, it's no need to. So I say all that to say, don't steal. It all goes back to stealing, what the word says about stealing, manipulating, you know. In fact, bearing false witness. Let's go in the same direction with that. Do not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't make up lies. Don't gossip. Don't be envious. Don't be jealous. You know? It says, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male or female servant, nor his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Well, a lot of people say, well, look, I'm good. My neighbor doesn't even have a donkey.
Really?
Yo, man. Kevin Hart who? Yo, I should go into comedy, man. I'm going to start. I'm going to stand up, man. Y'all know I'm funny, man.
Okay.
Oh, man. No, but seriously, it's not even about a donkey. It's not about a servant. But here's the thing. Have y'all ever seen someone, you know, and said, wow, they have love. Why don't I have love? But not out of a congratulatory standpoint, but from a envious standpoint, from a judgmental standpoint. You're saying, she got a weave. I listen to Daydon. He talking about, you know, men don't like weaves, but she got a man, and you know, she. I know for a fact she having sex, and he hit it on the first night, and now they married. So what you talking about, Mr. Daydon? D-Dad. You know what I mean? You don't even know how to say my name, Charm. How you going to play me? You don't even know how to say my name. Weirdos out here, man. Like some of the people, the biggest haters, they like D-Dad. D-Dad. Like, oh, my gosh. Ask D-Dad. I ain't asking you nothing. But, no, that's how they be. You know? They will be mad at God for because they're envious of somebody else's relationship and the fact that, and then that will even cause them to lose faith in God. So the problem with that is that you're not following the word. You know, you're not following the word. You're saying, well, hold on. You know, I'm actually envious. I'm coveting what someone else has. You know, it's not necessarily my neighbor, but it's my coworker. It's my frenemy, my associate, you know, that chick. You know, and that's what this is all about right here. Somebody said, well, that, I didn't know it meant that. Well, that's what it means. It says not his ox, his donkey, his female servant, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Hey, look, a lot of y'all were coveting and envious of Sherry Shepherd. You know, she had that big wedding and everything looked good, and she's sitting up there on The View bragging and da-da-da-da-da with that, her nose up in the air. Now look at it. She's back to crying herself to sleep every night. You see what I'm saying? What's the Kim Kardashian, oh, my gosh, she got married in Italy to Kanye West. Oh, my gosh, she rented out the whole stadium and proposed to her. Oh, whoop-de-doo. Yeah, okay. Well, let's see how that's going in 2 years from now for her. You know? A lot of y'all were envious when she married Chris Humphries, you know. But remember, Ray J hit it first. You see what I'm saying? I'm tripping. No, but I'm just saying. He did, though, you know. And that's the thing. You know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. But at the same time, don't think that you're still not being viewed as that man's trash. You see what I'm saying? And you guys got to follow me here. I know I'm jumping around, but y'all really got to follow me. A lot of times people are putting themselves up or they're putting people up on a pedestal saying, oh, wow, she has that. But how do you know that's actually a blessing? You see what I'm saying? It might not be. Everything that glitters isn't gold. You don't know what she does at nighttime. You don't know what he does when he goes out of town. So, yeah, you're envious of someone or something that might not even be meant for you to have. God might have something totally better for you. But you want what she has, and you wonder why you're not getting blessed. You want something that's not even all that great. So, and be careful, because sometimes God will give you what that person has. And then you wonder, well, dang, where's my blessing? Well, no, that's your blessing. You wanted what she has. Now you got it. You just didn't realize that's what she had. What you think about that, Courtney?
That's deep. That's deep. I'll admit, I've been guilty of doing that. And it's just being envious and just looking at what other people have. And it just really just comes from not being thankful for what you do have. And not really knowing and appreciating the journey, you know, that, you know, God has you on.
Right, right. That's true. That's true. I mean, that's basically it, guys. I mean, there's more to it. You know, somebody asked me earlier today, said, well, you know, what you going to talk about tonight? Like, how you going to approach it? I said, well, look, you got to tune in to find out. And, you know, basically, hopefully you guys enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Hopefully you guys learned something. I mean, I'm not, like I said, I'm no biblical scholar, but, you know, I know what the word says, and I definitely know about relationships. I know about dating, and, you know, I know about the entertainment industry and, you know, so much stuff that obviously that you guys, that we've talked about tonight. You see the relevance, and hopefully you guys were maybe hopefully learned something, or maybe were able to see something from a different perspective than you might, you know what I'm saying, might not have in the past. I do want to touch briefly on these couple of these pop quizzes. You know what I mean? In fact, real quick, before we get off the Ten Commandments, I'm just looking at this last scripture. It's just, I'll just finish it off. It says, when Moses was doing his thing, it says, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die. Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. So I want you guys to take from that. I mean, even as and this, the Bible is really so, it's amazing actually, because time and time and time again, these people were just like psychos. I mean, they would just hear the word of God. They would see God themselves and still continue to sin and still not have faith and still do the exact opposite of not what the word. We have the word. They actually had God back, and they had God talking directly to Moses, Moses telling them exactly what God said directly, and they still would sin right to God's face, and he was like right there. And so it's crazy. And we will do the same thing. You know what I mean? And then wonder why we're not being blessed. And so I would just say, really, aside from all that, one, thank God for grace. Okay? Thank God for being, you know, for dying, Jesus Christ for dying on this cross for our sins, so that we do not have to, you know, meet the same death that a lot of these people did back in the day because they sinned. But aside from that, use tonight's show and this information as a blueprint on how to change your life. You know, how to live your life, but more importantly, how to change your life. Because none of us are perfect. There are things that even in today's show I've listened to and said, wow, I need to change. Courtney, I mean, the whole list, she needs to change. You feel what I'm saying? You guys out there, there's certain things that you can pick apart and change. So, but yeah, anyway, Courtney, what do you think about these pop quizzes? You think we should do a couple?
Yeah, let's go.
Now, if you guys haven't already, if you're not familiar, add yourselves over into the Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show group. And also, before I forget, I told you guys before, over the next month or so, I'm going to be doing more Ask Dayton advice video blogs. So tonight, before you go to sleep, subscribe to my YouTube channel. There are about 30 videos on there from the last 5 years. Check them out if you haven't seen them already. YouTube.com/AskDayton. We're going to bring back Ask Dayton advice Mondays from back in the day, where every Monday I would hit y'all with a different video blog. We're going to get back to that. I know Courtney's going to be doing some video blogs as well. And so, yeah, it's going to be some good stuff. So I would say definitely add yourselves or subscribe. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AskDayton. All right? Do it. Do it now. Now, that's another thing I'm going to be doing. Like, we're going to be a lot of these pop quizzes, I'm just going to take them straight to YouTube, you know, so you guys can actually, like, I'm not going to do a whole show on them, but I might just do, you know, like, I'll do the thread, and then I'll just do a little video blog and just post it so you guys can see the actual correct answers, the best way to handle some of these situations. So it's going to be good, man. The future is definitely bright. Look out for some good information come forward. But today, I asked two questions. I asked, how do you know? In fact, let me pull up. I want to pull up the thread so I can see some of these answers were pretty good. How do you know when a man is truly interested in building a future with you? You know, that was a good one. Courtney, throw some of them out there. What are some ways that you can know?
I said that when he proposes to you, and everything flows smoothly, it's without you having to hint. It just happens.
Now, Courtney, that wasn't the first thing you said, was it?
No, I think I said something else. I don't remember the first thing I said. Oh, I said he brings up the 5-year plan. That was the first thing I said.
Right. Exactly. Let's go through some of these. I want to talk about the five-year plan. And I wanted to clarify, because that's a good answer. Okay, that's not a bad answer that Courtney gave. But it's not necessarily a sign. It can be. Because, like, when I brought up the five-year plan with my wife, it absolutely was a sign that I planned on marrying her. So it's not a bad answer, not an incorrect answer, because that will be the case when a man is truly feeling you, but it doesn't necessarily have to. Because what happens, Courtney, if you're dealing with a psycho, an OG player, if you will, like myself back in the day, who's hip to the game, and he brings it up, but with false pretenses. He brings it up with bad intentions. What then?
Okay. I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? What if he's a pimp and knows the game and says, yo, so what? What's your 5 years? Like, where do you see yourself in 5 years? He's not necessarily viewing you in that way, but he's, you know what I'm saying, he's still familiar with different techniques to put you into a mind frame of thinking that he's viewing you in that way. You know what I mean? But definitely, be clear. I know what Courtney meant. Courtney was it's a right answer. And when you are dealing with the man that God has for you, understand he absolutely will ask you about your five-year plan, and he will do the second part of Courtney's answer and put that ring on layaway. He will go ahead and purchase it, and he committed. I think Kiani said he – great answer by Kiani said basically, he'll commit. You know what I'm saying? Definitely. What else we got here? Let me go. Who said this? Terry said he is clear in communicating his interest in me. He will not cause confusion. Excellent answer. Mm-hmm. He will be clear. He will be clear. He will be concise. There will be no BS. There will be no beating around the bush. There will be no games. There will be no lies, no confusion. It will look. It's like, look, I'm interested in you. Let's build this future. This is what I want to do with you. I want to introduce you to so-and-so. I want to take you here. You know, let's go ahead and do this. Let's make these plans. And, it, you know, it'll flow. If it's not flowing, then he don't want you. What else? Terry was on point today. He said he tells you to change your Facebook status to in a relationship. Wow. What's the importance of that, Courtney?
Because it's claiming that person and showing that person off to the public. It's not a secret, you know? Because a lot of guys, I shouldn't say a lot, but some men will be in relationships, but you notice they won't necessarily have the status, the pages linked. Like, that's suspect to me. People say Facebook's not a big deal, but I think it is to claim someone and show them to the world.
Look, let me tell y'all this. If your relationship, and I don't care who disagrees, I don't care if people have a problem, I'm telling y'all straight up, listen to me when I tell you this, if your relationship is not listed on Facebook, it ain't official. And 99.9% of the time, you're getting played. Trust me on that. It's not official until it's listed on Facebook. And the reason being, and we've talked about this before, the reason for that is because when you look at Facebook, he's got his family, he's got his friends, he's often has his coworkers, he's got past exes, he's got jump-offs. Basically, everybody that people knows is connected to him on Facebook. You know it and I know it. Everybody. And so if you are special in his life, he is going to, you know, be with you, not only be with you, but introduce you not to certain people in real life, but actually put you out there and claim you to the world, to millions, okay? If he's not doing that, you have to ask yourself, why is he not doing that? You have to ask yourself, what's he hiding? Who is he hiding? Who doesn't he want to know about me? Because you know who's on his friends list. You see the women there. You may not necessarily come out and ask him, like, well, okay, who is she to you? Or, you know, like, who's that? Well, you have your answer if he's not putting you out there, if he's not introducing you to them in that way. You go to my Facebook page, you see my wife, you see my daughter, you see my family. I'm a pretty open guy. I mean, you could probably look at me and follow my posts and get a pretty good idea of how I spend my time, what I like to do, you know, who I like to do it with. I mean, it's pretty you know, straightforward. You're not going to see, oh, he's a single guy, or he, like, you're going to see my family. So my point is, that's what it's going to look like when someone is feeling you, when someone has a, you know, an interest in committing to you and building a future with you. If he's not doing that, then, I mean, bottom line, you're getting played. So, you know, and understand, let's be clear, there will always be a reason. There will always be some type of justification or rationalization why, oh, nah, I got this chick from, she's a stalker, so I just don't like people in my business, so I'm not into Facebook. Nah, man, Facebook is corny. That's the, you know, people like to be in your business, and I'm a private guy, da 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 da. It's all BS. It's all, trust me, he's playing you. Every man knows it. I know it. You should know it by now. He's playing you. If you're dealing with a man, and he's not putting you on, I'm telling you right now, delete him out your phone, tell him not to call you, he's playing you, and he's having sex with other women. Trust me when I tell you that. I guarantee it. Now, so shout out to Terry for that one. What else? Again, Terry, great one. He takes time throughout his busy day to call just to talk to you. Excellent. These are all things that I, you know, we've talked about. You know what I mean? It's great to see that people are regurgitating them, you know, and passing these tests with flying colors. He will do, it won't be a just, oh, yeah, I'm too busy, or I can't call, or, you know what I'm saying, let me just text, or I'll hit her up on Facebook. No, he's going to make time for you, you know. What else? Katrina, shout out to her, another great, you know, great individual who's made, you know, a lot of progress, seen a huge change over the last couple of years. Shout out to her. She says he makes plans with you on a Friday night. Now, you guys, we've talked about that. She says sex isn't a part of the conversation when you do talk. The key thing, and you guys heard us talk about this on this past Friday night, is that, you know, Friday night, you know, that's a club night. That's the number acquisition night. I got most of my numbers on Friday nights. Why would you chill with a woman on a Friday night when you could go out and meet five new women on a Friday night? I mean, that's the player logic, right? It doesn't make sense. But as Katrina said, so eloquently, he makes plans with you on a Friday night, which tells you, hey, he's not interested in meeting new numbers on a Friday night, you know, or getting new numbers or meeting new women on a Friday night. He's already got the one number that he needs. So a lot of women say, oh, I got a date on Sunday night. Oh, we getting together on Wednesday. What the heck does that mean? That doesn't mean anything. You know, in fact, it's a red flag, to be honest with you. So, you know, just be careful of that. Because Friday night, Saturday night is the date night. You know what I mean? That's the, other than that, you know, he's, you know, usually trying to pull a fast one. What else we got here? Let's see what else, Corey. What else can we put on here? I mean, people posting stuff on my timeline, man. I've asked people not to do that. Now, you see what I'm saying? What else? What else? What other good advice? What other ways to know if somebody is feeling you, Courtney?
I can't think of.
Come on, Courtney.
What about meeting his friends?
There you go.
His family. Yeah.
There you go. Survey says.
Really?
shout out to Steve Harvey, man. Steve Harvey, now see, yeah, people think, oh, you're a hater. No, I'm not a hater. Steve Harvey is a funny host of that show. I've watched that show my whole life, and he's probably the best host of Family Feud that they've had so far. And so I think, I mean, that's, like I tell y'all, man, I'm not a hater. Steve is really good, and that's his lane. You know what I mean? Not stand-up comedy, not relationship advice, but just, you know, situational type of stuff like that. Like, that's where, you know, I feel like he's best at. But even Steve's talk show isn't horrible. You know what I mean? I don't have a problem with that. But it's like when you try to get it, you know, go outside of your lane and give, you know, start speaking into people's lives about stuff, that's, you know, that's where I take a little bit of offense. But yeah, Katrina, excellent advice. Who else, man? Trying to see who else. Tiffany says, what if he's in the divorce process? Well, I'd say that would be a red flag. What else here? Let's see. Let's see who else gave some good answers. Courtney asked about the 5-year plan. Keani says he'll commit. Janelle says when he tells you the plans he has for you, that's a failure right there. That's not, you know, if you notice, that didn't get the thumb up. A lot of times women get caught up in what he's saying. You know, he tells you this. It has nothing. I said asking about a 5-year plan doesn't mean anything without action. When he tells you something, that doesn't mean anything if he doesn't back up those words with action. All right. What else? And this is shout out to Andrea. She says, no clue. I'm just being honest. Hey, let me give that the thumb up real quick. I didn't get a chance to, but I respect that. You know, there are a lot of women out here who are just out here fronting. There are a lot of women here who are perpetrating as if they know what men want, as if they know what it looks like when in reality they've never been in love. You know, how you been somebody's jump off, how you been in and out of relationships with men who didn't really value you, but then claiming to know what it looks like when you're truly being taken seriously. If you don't know, you don't know. Most women don't know. So participate in these threads. Follow these threads. Listen to the show. Because you don't know, and that's how you learn. You know, but I respect that. I respect that. You know, hey, look, I don't know. You know, I respect the other young woman called in earlier to the show. Hey, look, yeah, I slip up sometimes. Sometimes I slip up, and, you know, I let them fall up in me. You know what I mean? So it is what it is. Just don't do it anymore. Nothing wrong with that. You're somebody's jump off. Hey, tonight's the last night. That's it. So it is what it is. I've had women tell me through private counseling, hey, look, I had sex earlier tonight, but, you know, I wanted to, you know, keep this session because I don't like how I feel. You know, I've listened to your show after having sex, after coming home. I just turned on your show to the archives at 2 in the morning and cried myself to sleep. You know, because I wanted to change. Hey, that's what you need to do. Nothing wrong with that. You know, I respect that. What I don't respect is people making excuses for doing the same thing that's led to them being in uncomfortable circumstances. You know what I mean? So there's that. LaTanya, let me give her a thumb up. She says, he will bring you to church. Excellent answer. That's rare. That's rare because church is another one of those places where you get to be seen by millions. You know, you walk in those doors, everybody turns around. You got somebody on. You can't fake that because guess what? Somebody knows somebody that knows somebody, and the people are going to talk. And if you're an OG player, you never do stuff like that. You never take the women to church, you know, because that would mean, you know, you publicly linking yourself to someone, which, you know, it's not the end of the world. But it's just unnecessary drama that you probably don't need. So why do it? But if that man is bringing you to church, of all the other things he could be doing with you, but he's bringing you to church, nothing's 100%, but chances are that's probably a man who has some genuine interest in you. You ever had a guy take you to church, Courtney?
Nope, not at all.
Mm-mm. Hey, it is what it is. That's cool. You know, most women haven't, you know. I think my wife had it at one point. I think she said I was the first guy that she, you know, that took her to, went to church with, I believe. You know, it's a lot of, you know, not. It's a very few amount of men out here who go to church at all, but then more, you know, who actually go to church with you and pray with you and praise with you. So a lot of good answers here. I don't have anything to add to it. I mean, these are all answers that, you know, I've given at one point or another, stuff we've talked about. So just really refreshing to see so many women who not only have heard the information, who understand the information, are able to give back the information, but also who are not afraid to take a chance and be wrong, you know, or give an incorrect answer. Because we're all learning. It's all, we're all works in progress in some area, you know, so don't be afraid of these threads. You know, if you didn't do, as I always say, if you didn't do as well as you would like to have done, then that's cool. Just reach out for help, and we can talk about it privately. And you know what I mean? And make sure you have that. Because you're going to go through this stuff eventually. You know what I'm saying? Like at some point, you're going to have to know how to know when a man is viewing you in a serious manner. You're going to have to know what red flags to look for. So why go through on-the-job training when you can actually get a blueprint for how to conduct yourself and exactly what to look for? You know what I mean? It only makes sense to, you know what I mean, to do that. What else, though? Let's talk about, before we get up out of here tonight, put an exclamation point on tonight's, you know, in my opinion, one of my favorite shows that we've done so far. I wasn't sure how it was going to turn out, talking about the Old Testament, talking about the Ten Commandments, but I think we did pretty well. But let's talk a little bit about some of the biggest red flags, Courtney, to look out for when getting to know someone. What are some red flags?
Conversations about sex.
Let's stop right there. That's because I want to talk about that. That's huge. Excellent. That's, I mean, ladies, a lot of times people think that's a turn on. It's like, oh yeah, let's talk about sex. Ooh, let me get, you know, my panties all wet. I mean, I'm just saying, keep it real. That's what you laughing?
That was funny. The way you said it was funny.
What the heck? No, I mean, it's true though. Some people get turned on by that, men and women. But I get it. Don't get it twisted. I've, you know, done all that stuff back in the day. But what I'm saying is, don't confuse a man being excited to talk to you about sex. Don't get that confused with him being excited and passionate about being with you in a relationship. A man will talk about sex with you. You know, that's actually nothing. You know, but if, you know, unless he's passionate about building a future and going out with you and even talking about God with you, it's all BS. So, excellent, though. What else? I don't know what Vanessa's talking about. She says be more attentive to the person. I think she misread the question or something. But that is a, you know, good point, though, but wrong thread. But Courtney says any level of uncertainty about where this is going. All right. Did you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, because I did some reflection, you know, self-reflection, just in dating situations and getting to know somebody. It was like I would feel like, well, okay, what are we doing here? You know, we're spending all this time together. You know, I like you. I think you like me. But, like, what are we doing? I'm not really so sure about how you feel about me. So anytime there's, like, questions or any type of confusion, that's a red flag, and that means that their man isn't taking you seriously. He's not feeling you. Because if he was, you'd know.
Right. Exactly. God is not a God of confusion, doubt, or uncertainty. So if you have uncertainty about where the relationship is going, then it's obviously clearly a red flag, but definitely not the man that God has for you. Christy, shout out to her. Excellent answer says texting only and not calling by phone. That is a huge red flag, something that if you see it, the problem with it is everyone sees red flags. You see the red flag, but you choose to still continue in the dating situation, in the relationship situation, and then you wonder why it ultimately blows up. It's like if you see smoke, guess what? Fire isn't far behind. Don't just see smoke and ignore it, thinking it's not going to be a problem. You know, if you see a red flag, don't just keep talking to them. Don't just keep dating them. You know, you got to keep it moving. You know, Siobhan says not taking you anywhere. Excellent answer. If all your dates, all your time revolves around the crib, you know, even phone conversations, if he doesn't actually go anywhere with you, not just, you know, chilling with you. See, a lot of guys want to chill with you because they think that the chilling is going to lead to sex. But, and in most cases it does, but, you know, if he's not passionate about going places with you, building memories with you, being seen with you, he ain't feeling you. All right? Vanessa says not meeting their close friends and family. Excellent answer. You know, if you haven't met anybody, but really close friends. You know, close friends is huge because, you know, and I'll be honest with you, even more so than family in many cases. See, family usually comes after you have the friend's approval. And anybody who thinks that having a woman having a man's friend's approval is not important doesn't understand how men think. Because if if we're going to take you seriously, we're going to inquire about you. Like, one of the first things I did, yo, Osh, what's up, man? I want you to meet somebody. Her name is Danny. I want you to see what you think about her, man. Give me that holy discernment that you got going on for you. Let me know what the deal is. You know what I'm saying? And Osh, seriously, yeah, he'll tell me. He definitely told me. But he said, look, you got a winner. He said, God told me you got a winner. I said, cool. I said, mine. No, I'm just playing. You know what I mean? I hit the Denzel Washington. You know what I'm saying? Alonzo. My nigga. All right. No, that's an inside joke. seriously, man. Osha's my homie, though, man. Now, he'll tell you. He'd be like, look, man, you know, she's not the one. But, no, he was my best man at the wedding, so, you know, definitely knows the deal. What else, though? Close friends and family. What else we got? Terry said he picks his nose in pot. Terry's a psycho, man. She should go into comedy, too. She says he's spiritual and not religious. Excellent. You know, I don't buy all that. Spirituality without being religious. No, you don't have to be religious. But if you know what I'm saying? We talked about it. If you're not passionate about, you know, going to church on a regular basis and finding a church home, then chances are you ain't spiritual either. Let's just cut the crap. Let's keep it real. What else? Let's see who else has some good answers, has some psycho answers on here. But, Terry again. He asks for pictures. Excellent answer. Yes. If you guys missed our 3-hour special on sexting, who heard the sexting special? You remember that show, Courtney?
Mm-hmm.
That was a classic show done by myself and Courtney on sexting, where we talked about video mail, picture mail, you know, seductive texts, sexual innuendo. We talked about the effects of it. We talked about what it looks like, you know, how men will view you as a result. A lot of cell phone porn out here, you guys. A lot of freaks out here. I'm tired of seeing my Facebook friends butt naked, bent over the, you know what I'm saying? People say, well, what do you mean? Why are you seeing it? Nah, because men just, it circulates. Men are passing y'all stuff around in the barbershops. They're forwarding, like, I'm on people's, like, they'll, you know, like, on your cell phone, you can have a group. You have, like, a group of people, like, church folk or other, you know what I'm saying, whatever. I guess I'll be in people's groups, and they'll just be sending stuff out. I'm like, yo, what the heck? That's so-and-so. Like, yo, that, what the heck? That's Aaron right there on the table. I didn't mean to see Aaron's, you know. No, I'm just playing. Aaron doesn't do that type of stuff.
Trying to play her.
No, it's like, no, Aaron is cool. But seriously, guys, stop sending the cell phone porn, you know, because it only will spread. You know, if a guy asks you for pictures, he's absolutely not feeling you, you know. So it doesn't mean anything. Let me see. What else? Now, Aaron had an interesting, kind of pick on Aaron today. She said he asks about piercings or tattoos in regards to red flags. There's nothing that's a red flag about that. Because remember, that's something that all men are going to do. As I said on the post, if a man asks you, you know, and he will ask you, you know, in fact, it'll be one of the first things he asks you, because that's going to matter. And I hate to, I don't want to, you know, make anyone uncomfortable, but you know I don't care about that. But if you have, like, a tattoo on your face, you know, like, or a tattoo, like, you know, someplace blatant that would cause us to not be able to bring you around our mom, well, guess what? We need to know that up front. So before I even think about taking you out or even getting your number, I need to know, like, yo, do you have a tattoo? Do you have, like, the Eve paw prints on your boobs? You know what I mean? Like, let me know so I could just delete your number now, because I can't bring you to Thanksgiving dinner with you with the paw prints. You know? So that's not a red flag. That is, although I know what she meant, I know what along the line she was thinking. But that's actually something that we, like, if you have your nipples pierced, I'm not necessarily asking because I want to see them. I want to know if you're a freak, and I can just know, all right, do I need to try to, you know, am I going to try to smash, or am I going to actually, you know, I need to know what I'm going to do with you. You know, one of the things that, one of the few things that Steve Harvey and I actually agree on is that he will actually tell you is that, and I say all the time, that we know what we want. Like, when a man meets you, he's going to put you in a one of two categories. It's either going to be wife or hoe. So a lot of times the tattoos, a lot of times the piercings, that's going to determine or help with the determination of what category you go into. So not necessarily a red flag, but I think what he's like, what she was thinking more so was, you know, a guy asking it, you know, I'll put it like this. It's not a red flag, but it's going to be a result of other red flags. Like, after he's already put you into the hoe category, that's when he's going to start asking about the tattoos or piercings or, oh, can I see him? Or, you know, you know what I mean? He's just going to try to exploit them. He's going to try to use them as a target for something, if you guys catch my drift. What else here? Courtney says conversations about sex. After I said, what about conversations? So she basically just took my answer and made it her own. Thanks, Courtney, for that.
Let me clarify that. You said, what about sex? You didn't say conversations about sex. I just added, like, two more words to say where you
right.
were going with that.
You added two more words to my original statement. I say no one mentioned sex. Courtney says conversations about sex. Really? Really, Courtney? And then people gave the thumbs up. Hold on. Let me just go back here. Hold on. Did people just give it thumbs up in the last 2 seconds? It just, you know, what the heck? Aaron, Vanessa, and two others gave it the thumbs up, but then didn't give my comment the thumb up when I say no one mentioned sex. Oh, my gosh, man. Y'all see what I had to go through?
My
she
homie.
Gets all the credit for my answer. But no, I'm just messing around. No, but that's a good answer. If your conversations revolve around sex, then he's clearly not viewing you in a sexual manner. He's just trying to smash. LaTanya says, he has a bad temper. Excellent. That is a red flag. Definitely a red flag. You know, if he's a psycho, if he grips you up, you know, makes you eat the cake, you know what I mean? That would be considered a red flag. What else here? God. If he has, now, Kiana says, if he has a bad relationship with his mother or other family members, I wanted to touch on that, and I said on online here that a man's relationship with his mom doesn't necessarily have anything to do with how he treats his woman. And I say necessarily. It could. I mean, if he beats his mom, then, you know, that's probably not the man for you. It's probably not going to be work out too well for you if he beats his mom. But you guys have to understand that sometimes people just don't have good relationships with their parents. I mean, maybe their mom was a psycho. Maybe their dad was never around. Maybe they just have issues that they're struggling with, that they are working through, but it's just not there yet. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't mean they don't want it to be. Doesn't mean it's their fault. It just means it's just not there. So maybe at that time when he meets you, you know, he's just not on good terms. Does that necessarily mean he's going to be a bastard to you? No, I mean, it doesn't. So it doesn't necessarily mean anything. It could just mean they don't get along, but he might even love you even more. Who knows? Couldn't give that one the thumb up. But basically Kim, she says any conversation about sex or his ex. So she basically piggybacked off of my answer and Courtney's answer, but then she says his ex. That's a big one. A lot of guys, they comment or they, you know, they want to bring up their ex, which often tells you that they're still either having sex with their ex or still interested in their ex or still, you know, still have feelings for their ex. What else? Kim also says wandering eyes. That's a good one. That's a red flag. Most likely means that he's not 100% satisfied with what he has there with you. What's this? What else? She says if he doesn't call me by my name, such as babe, ma, et cetera. I don't know about that. I don't know. I mean, I call I called Danny Ma. I said, "Yo, what's up, Ma? What's good?" No, I'm just messing with y'all. I don't really call her that. But we do have different names. I may call her something. She may call me something. I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, some people just have those little terms of endearment. You know, it's not. I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Courtney? Is that a red flag? Is that a problem?
No, it's not. I wonder if she was just saying, like, before the commitment is there, like, you're just getting to know that person. Maybe that's a turnoff. But I kind of see where she's going with that. But, like, in a relationship, no, I don't think that's an issue.
Yeah. I mean, I get it sometimes. It's just like, yo, what's up, Ma? Like, just trying to get your attention. I mean, yeah, that could be a red flag, but we're talking more so about within the context of dating and talking and getting to know. I wouldn't really put that as a bad, unless he's a psycho with it, but I don't know. Who knows? It's not a big deal. What else? Kiani says, lack of focus, drive, discussions that lead to or involve sex, sexual innuendos, and an obsession for seeking attention. Definitely an attention seeker is a red flag. Leave those guys alone. I'm seeing a lot of sex talk. Looks like a lot of y'all. Hey, what y'all be talking about on the phones, man? When y'all be caking late at night, man. What, you know what I'm saying? A lot of caking going on. Looks like a lot of sex talk. Looks like it's not just a Chicago thing, evidently. You know, might be an Ohio thing. You know, but anyway. Any sex conversations, red flag. Men seeking attention, definitely a red flag. What else is here? V. Collins says, can't hold down a job because he's trying to find himself at the age of 38. That's a good one. Be aware. Be careful of those guys out there. I mean, there's nothing wrong with trying to find himself at any age. It's not about that. But if you can't hold down a job, then that's, you know, that's a problem. What else? See what Veronica's talking about. She says he's not looking to be in a relationship and does not believe in titles. Then he says he's not ready for a relationship or more. Yes. Excellent. Oh, these, she might get the award tonight for the best answer. We could do a whole show on this whole thing. He says he's not looking for anything serious. Doesn't want to be in a relationship. Basically, he's telling you what, Courtney?
That he doesn't want to be with you.
That and that he just wants to smash, you know. But yeah, because all men want to be in a relationship. It's just that he may not want to be in a relationship with you. That's what that means. But first and foremost, it means, look, if he tells you he doesn't want to be in a relationship, he's telling you straight up, but we can be sex buddies. We can be friends with benefits. So if he says he's not ready, same thing. then only takes you to the hotel, picks you up. What the heck? What kind of, what you be into, Veronica? What the heck? Takes you to the hotel. What hotel are you at? Picks you up only at nighttime. Only calls when he wants you to come over. That's a big one. That's a huge one. Only calls when he wants you to come over. Lack of communication, only text. Calls and texts late at night only. You only hear from him on the weekend. Compliments your body in a sexual way. And the list goes on. You got that right. The list definitely goes on. What else? Vanessa asked me to touch on this topic after the Ten Commandments, which we are doing. Shout out to you guys all for listening in. Our show has concluded. It's time to go to sleep. You know, seriously, hopefully you guys learned some stuff. And, you know, like I said, we're going to continue doing these pop quizzes and, answering them, continue participating. Even if you're not sure, there's no wrong answer here. All answers are right answers because you're giving answers. You're taking the steps necessary to learn and to figure things out as opposed to having to find out the hard way. So I commend everybody, V. Collins, Veronica, Kiani, Kim, Vanessa, Courtney, Latanya, Terry, Siobhan, Christy, everybody. You know what I mean? You guys all did the right thing. What else, man? Any last comments tonight? Ten Commandments, red flags, how to know when a man is failing you. Any last things you want to add, Courtney?
No, I mean, this was a great show as always. I'm so sad that the time is up.
Our time has come to an end. This is the fastest 3 hours you guys will ever have in your life. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, it goes, but it's a blessing, you know, because it goes fast for me, too. This isn't work. This is fun for me. Who would have thought that talking about the Ten Commandments for 3 hours could be fun and entertaining? You know what I mean? But that's how it is when you look at the Bible from the right perspective, when you go into it with a clear heart. So thank you guys for listening in. Couple things. This was one of those specialized shows that I was telling you we're going to be doing. This is one of them. I'm so glad we did it. Another one similar to this, we're going to be talking about soul ties. It was a toss-up between which one I wanted to do first, but I'm glad we did it the way we did. Next, we're going to get into soul ties. We're going to talk a little bit more. We're going to combine the two, generational curses. We're going to go deeper into that. You know, the difference between love and just lust and love and soul tie. You know, we're going to talk about that, how to identify soul ties, how to break soul ties. You got that guy from back in the day you just can't seem to get over. It's not that you can't just seem to get over. It's that the soul tie just isn't being broken. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to be talking about addiction, sex addiction, specifically porn, but the cycle of addiction, you know, how to break it. First of all, what it is, and then how to break it and get healing from various forms of addiction. Obviously, we got on this Sunday night, Osho and I will be doing the very first Between Brothers topic, which is going to be turning your back on God and, you know, just what that means, what that looks like. We're doing a show on modern day slavery. I can't wait to do that. We talk a lot about that. Just a lot of stuff. Depression. We're going to do a show on depression over the next couple months. You know, a lot of people can relate to that and talk about how to overcome depression, what it is, what it's not. You know, some common misconceptions about depression. So I'm just excited about the show and the direction that it's going. And Courtney, excellent job. I give you a hard time, but you know that's only because Courtney is a blessing to you guys and to me and to this show. And you know, and it's just you guys are a blessing, man. Thanks for listening. Without you guys, there'd be no show. We've been around for 10 years, so you guys are have definitely showed some love and some support and just taking the show to new heights, and I look forward to continuing the process. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you all next time. Peace. Are you looking for love out there? Hate is all we find. A great man who will treat you right, make you his sweet bride. Are you coming up empty out there?
Date on be your motivation, child, a date on to overcome and change your world.